This week's episode of The Friend Zone is brought to you by Talkspace, the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time. With Talkspace, therapy is as easy as sending your therapist a message. No commute, no leaving the office, no getting out of your bed, no squeezing in an appointment during your lunch hour, and no judgments. To match with a perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/zone and use the code ZONE to get $5 off your first month and show your support for this show. Talkspace, therapy for how we live today. Okay.
Welcome to the Friend Zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as K-Friend. Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the Friend Zone. Let's start the show.
I'm in the zone.
Marlo, how did you feel hearing Kim say you use your hole to make money?
Kim, when you said that, really did bother me because I feel that you and I are cut from the same cloth. You know what? I take that back. We're not. You are a whore. You ruined a happy home. I've never dated a married man. So the next time you talk about my hole between my legs, measure yours.
Now, I know we kind of pushed it to the line, you know, this week.
The next
we pushed it to the limit.
I push.
I know we did, and we used a clip that references, you know, whores and holes being measured and all those sorts of details. You know, and it's a little bit, you know, Friend Zone after dark, but maybe that's when you're listening. What we're going to talk about today is the fact that years ago, when we met Marlo Hampton in season 4, she called Kim bottom of my back, low butt crack Zolciak to task on comments that she had made about Marlo Hampton's past and her sexual dating history and her employment. And when she did that, she called Kim Zolciak to the carpet, okay? And we were learned, we were given and issued a lesson that we can take with us. The moral of the story of this here story in particular is about accountability. It's about accountability, because Marlo told Kim at the end of the day, bitch, you want to call me a whore? The next time you worry about the hole between my legs, measure yours, okay? Be accountable for your own stuff. If you want to take it biblical, sweep around your own front door. That's a gospel song.
It is. Sweep
it really
around
is. Somebody better sweep around. Sweep around your front door. That being said, that being issued, that being understood, the hashtag is measure yours. Somebody tell you something that don't apply to you and really they need to sweep around their own front door, you hit them with it. You know what? Measure yours. That's the hashtag. It's really about accountability. The lesson is learned. And with that being said and understood, which is the most important part, welcome to the Friend Zone. Your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene. Because who in the hell wants a musty brain?
Not me.
Hi, friend.
I'm still processing this intro. Hi, Dustin.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are your weekend?
Why must I feel like
that?
How
are your weekends, guys?
Why must Kim have a low butt crack? You know Kim Zolciak. We're going to tell you about the weekend in 2 seconds.
Oh, my gosh.
But you know Kim Zolciak got one of them long backs. You know how her legs... You know that stick figure that they make dance all the time and how the legs are kind of bowed to the front a little bit? That's how Kim is built. And her back is low like that. She has one of those. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Them people with them long backs and the butt crack don't start until right underneath the caboose. You know what I'm talking about. That's what Kim got. And all them baby kids probably got it too, just like Kenya said. They was like, are you jealous of Kim and having all them kids? And Kenya was like, don't nobody want them baby kids.
Yeah, she did.
That shit was funny when she said that.
I fell
at
out.
At the reunion?
Yes. But anyway, what were you asking me?
How was your weekend?
Weekend was great. And actually, we had a really good time with each other on Saturday.
Oh, my God.
Shout out to Broadway Black and Andrew Shade. We actually got a chance to go to Set It Off Live in
Set
Brooklyn, New
ice.
York. Yep. Set It Off on Crown Royal
Set
and
off
I.
The
Crown
musical.
Royal and I.
I did have me whatever that Green Long Island was or whatever it was. It was good.
The Green Long Island.
Uh-huh. You know, because it was that black ass theater in Brooklyn. They were serving drinks.
Right. So that's green with an E on the end. You
drinks
know, most
and
black
pretzels.
People.
And pretzels. So
the pretzels were random. But you know it was a black ass theater because they had them cup holders at the seats too. I was like, look at these cup holders. Like right in front. Like it was the armrest and I didn't realize on the chairs in front there were cup holders, and so I had to put my drink there. I was like, this
I knew it was a black theater when we got to the seat, and it was bath bath towels all across the floor. You see how they had, remember how they had them bath towels laid all across the floor in front of your seat in case you spilled? I'm just playing.
That was like,
I'm just playing.
I didn't see that. Well, how about the metal detectors?
Oh my God. Fair East Side. I feel like you was on Lean on Me going to the high school.
I never to play.
But the play
where
itself.
I had to take off my jacket and get my bag searched and walk through a metal detector. Shout out to Flatbush, Brooklyn.
Wow. We was in there. We was in that thing.
That theater is beautiful.
It is. It's a nice ass theater.
That's why they want you niggas bringing nothing in there.
True.
And I think everybody enjoyed themselves at the show.
Oh my God.
The audience, everybody was so into it. I could not look away. I could not.
It was so good. The Brat did a great job.
I was about to say, the Brat was up there doing her thing. Shout out to Cleo.
That last scene. Yeah. But she was like, ooh. Delicioso.
The Brat is built too. I was like, okay, Brat.
Okay. The Brat is back and she's the Brat is stacked.
Okay.
But we'll get into that more. What do you say?
We're not there yet. We'll get there. We're not there yet, but we'll get there.
So you guys want to jump into the recap?
Let's just do it. Let's just get right
in. Long as I don't land on my kneecap.
Wait, so is Superman's dad or Batman's dad named Jor-El?
Superman.
Superman's dad?
Yep.
So Superman is mixed?
You say what?
Superman is mixed.
Right. Superman mixed?
He is mixed. Between, no, actually, no, he's not. He's not mixed at all. Never mind.
No, wait, somebody lying.
He's not mixed at all. But we're going to come, I know what you're doing. I was about to say, well, maybe he is, but no, he was the last of the Kryptonians. He's from Krypton.
So they Kryptonians.
He's from Krypton, and his dad's name is Jor-El.
That Kryptonian. Because so, I saw so many comments of people being like, y'all got Superman's dad.
I didn't want to say nothing either the first time we met him, too, and be like, this would be so cliche if I said something about Superman.
Because you know he was here like all day.
Because you know people come up to me about my name sometimes and they're like, oh my God, you know Lion King. I'm like, yeah, don't sing the song to me, please. And they do it and I'm just like, damn, here we are. So I tried to return the favor.
Well, okay, now I know. So Superman on last black. Week's episode,
Superman is not black.
Called The Other Side of Therapy.
It should be though.
Featuring Jor-El Caraballo.
Caramelo Duro.
You are.
Jukebox.
Which was an Jukebox amazing Jones. Episode because when we discuss mental health and therapy, obviously the frame of reference is based on us getting help, us seeking out the services, and then, of course, our show providing the resources so that the services can be closer to you and right. easier to access. But having a therapist and asking him about how he processes the information and all of his sessions and just what life is like. The most amazing part is that so many of you hit us saying that you're going to be therapists or you're working in the mental health sector. And so the episode was like life altering for you, which is great. That's amazing. I'm glad that you found it useful. So as always, a lot of you had a ton to say. So who stood out to you, Asante?
It's funny that you opened like that, friend, because I want to give a shout out to Sam V in the emails. They said, hearing Jor-El speak about his journey to becoming a therapist spoke so much to me. I also was a highly sensitive and intuitive child. Who also always asked why to people around me. It wasn't until college that I began to see my sensitivity and intuitiveness as a gift, and once I did, it opened so many more opportunities for me. I ended up switching my major to social work, and the rest is history. Fast forward to today, I'm in grad school studying public health and clinical social work with the end goal of providing therapy and working to systematically increase access to mental wellness for Black people, LGBTQ, and Black LGBTQ people. This summer will be my first time providing individual clinical counseling, and I'm excited and nervous because I, too, have a baby face. And to be honest, worry about running into clients outside of the workplace. This is definitely one of my favorite episodes.
Yay.
Thanks for sharing
So many
that.
Of you said that.
Yeah, because, you know, I still be thinking about that, too. Like, what if I do get me a therapist and everything's going good and nothing for Jor-El, but, you know, we didn't really talk about it. But after How to Get Away with Murder, I was just kind of like, I don't know. I got to take another look at therapy. You know, the therapist has so much going on.
Right.
And then I start to think about therapists as a people. And so what if I'm in a session with my therapist and I'm like, you know, how are you today? And then they just start giving me their baggage. And so then now, I mean, what if they just so casually might say something small and then, you know, what if I tap into my friend accidentally and I just go off and start talking to them and they tell me so much their business and then I start to want to know more and Yes, I think about that. Fran, what did you find in them SoundCloud streets?
On SoundCloud, Sweetheart Misfit said, I love all of your episodes, but this one is my top for 2018. I, too, am in the mental health counseling field. I just finished my master's last year, and I am in the process of looking to gain my hours toward licensure to become a mental health counselor. I can identify with everything Jarrell is saying, especially since I am a young therapist and make the same links and patterns to everything with myself and others. I will definitely put my friends who are also therapists. See? That's what I'm saying. There's so many people.
A community.
Both upcoming and already in the field onto this episode so we too can have a roundtable discussion. Thank you. P.S. As I mentioned earlier about linking things together, I tend to notice that people in the therapy counseling field also have a dual interest and talent in music. I'm an aspiring DJ as well. Perhaps it is a therapist's subconscious therapy, she says. So,
well, shit, she would know.
But I it really amazed me, which I guess makes sense considering our show is mental health focused.
Yes.
That we do tap into a large community of counselors and mental health therapists. And, you know, that's just so cool.
I know some therapists.
And clinical therapists and psychologists.
Listen to me where they are. I know some therapists and me.
So when we do the science episodes, I do notice all the psych students be getting super hyped. So that's cool.
Right. Everybody be pushing their glasses up in the middle.
Oh my God. So that was dope.
Justin.
Yes. Hey, I'm in these streets, y'all.
He got me stuttering because y'all didn't see the face he made putting his glasses up.
I want to give a huge shout out to Deadstock Dev. Who tweeted that when Donda sees Ye at the pearly gates, and it's that video clip of the little boy that was screaming that it was loud in church. Have you seen
it? Yes, him? And the mom
pops him. She said that's what Kanye's mama was going to do when she see Kanye at the pearly gates.
Oh, no.
That was funny. Okay. Then I also want to give a shout out to 90s Melly Mel, who is Melvin Dunks on ya. Who tweeted, y'all remember when McDonald's did this R&B music video theme commercial in 2008? The end had me dying. Tell me
oh
y'all
my God.
You remember this?
I remembered it when I seen it.
I woke up and found you creeping. Oh, girl, I know your
secret. Don't y'all remember that McDonald's commercial?
And when I was watching that video, I was like, I cannot believe this commercial followed me into 2018.
I couldn't
can't
either, but
it.
But wasn't
I
that
smiled.
Like a whole phase where McDonald's yes. went like R&B fucking videos?
Yes. McDonald's had
well,
some
I
great
feel
commercials.
Like everybody's marketing was at one point because remember the Tyrese and the Coke?
Yep.
And even Maya and Common had a Coke campaign. Try to make it real. And then Common was like, if it's real to me, how can one tell in the real of me? Realest place I found in me or something like that. I was like, come
you
on, Common, Maya.
Verse.
Man, I remember all that random shit. I remember the Old Navy tunic commercial with MC Light.
Yes.
When they was doing all
yes.
tunics. I remember all them random ass commercials with all the
remember
people.
Them Gap commercials. Want to dress you up in my love.
Gap had the best commercials.
All over. From your head down to your toes. Ding, 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 ding.
So
they
cute.
Always had good ones. You know, Mellow Yellow was their throwback.
Ooh.
They call me Mellow Yellow.
Gap had really cool ads at one point, man.
Shout out to the cool ads. I wish they would hire some more cool motherfuckers in advertising right now that can make new cool ads.
Yes, I remember looking at, I'll be done in a moment. I just loved advertising. I remember reading magazines and remember when Khalees had Milkshake and how her stuff looked in print. I remember Rez doing stuff. I remember.
I love Rez.
Or Reese. I think her name was actually Reese, but I always used to say Rez.
I said like Rez too, like hi.
They say Vision was yeah. like the shit.
Where's she at?
I don't know, but that was a bomb ass album. I remember she had a couple singles. That was one of the singles.
What was and, Boys? Golden Boys.
And if you think that you know, was the first one. But,
and if you think that you know, there's a back road. Take a back road.
And also, really quickly, I used to love the milk campaigns. They were always lit. It was always somebody in the milk mustache
yeah,
looking
those
dope.
Are big.
I remember Nelly looking really good in his milk campaign.
You would.
Right, I would.
A milk mustache.
what else?
The upper lip. Okay. I want to give a huge shout out to friend of the show at Huff Daddy Says on Twitter, who, Huff for those Daddy. Of you that have been keeping up, there was a huge scandal amongst the Instagram and Twitter communities. Yep.
A scandal.
It was a scandal. Yes. There was a person who was thought to be missing.
And I posted it.
A young black man from Atlanta who thought was missing. And everybody was really up in arms. And it was a huge outpouring of support. And people were reposting the picture.
Someone you guys know?
I didn't know this person, but a lot of other people did.
Right. Okay. I knew several people that were
like
just
mutual friends.
Yeah, several people were posting it that I knew. So I was like, well, damn, if all of y'all are posting this, then I need to post this because it was in Atlanta. So I was like, let me just say something.
I watched it all. You know, I feel kind of funny when it comes to shit like that and people dying and shit. If I don't know the person, I'd stay away from it because, you know, so I stayed away from it, but I saw it all going on.
Yeah.
Okay. So come to find out, the person was not missing. They were actually in Paris. They had gotten into a fight and an argument with their alleged lover and fled abroad because there had been some domestic abuse, all kind of stuff. All these statements from lawyers started coming out. Come to find out, one of the lovers is a lawyer, said that they were not in a relationship. The person was their trainer, all this stuff.
What?
But see how you're confused? Not for long, because the tweet that I would like to highlight from Huff Daddy says, people keep asking me what is going on with the IG missing persons fiasco. So I'm going to lay out what all has been stated publicly and can be confirmed for the timeline, a thread. Look at his timeline. It'll give you all the information
is
with pictures.
Is it him or someone he knows? Or
Garnell has given us.
Shout out to Garnell.
Look at this breakdown.
These are the missing person files that was posted. These are the statements from the lawyer's offices, the cease and desist.
Oh, my God.
All the receipts. So it's a fascinating Twitter story. You know these scandals happen once every blue moon.
Yes. They do come up every once in a while.
We've had all the materials compiled into one thread.
Wait, Garnell from your birthday?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Makes it even funnier now, right?
I'm dead.
And imagine watching this in real time. Because I was in there watching and literally waiting. Because I remember, because I too had shared the picture of this missing person. So I needed to know what was going on. I was like, I shared this, so I need to know what's next. So I'm sitting there literally refreshing his thread, trying to figure out what's about to be next. So I need to be raggedy and texting.
It's some of the best investigative Twitter journalism I've seen.
Oh, so bad, O'Brien right there.
Lord knows Twitter's good at that.
Give a huge shout out to @Martin, MARRTI. INNN, okay? Who tweeted, why does it look like it'd be in a 90s Spanish textbook and it's a picture of Cardi B without makeup next to a dolphin? It literally looks like the pictures from the Spanish textbooks when we were in school in the 90s. So I thought that was funny. And yeah, that's what I found in these Twitter streets this week.
So we were discussing what to do for this episode because it is heavy on the internet right now. I mean, everyone from Sabrina Claudio to Gold Link, basically all of my faves, everyone I've ever loved is being canceled left and right.
Left and right. I can't keep up.
I saw Badu get canceled again.
I seen Badu was in some mess.
What did she do? She tweeted to Kanye and told him something. I didn't see it, but I saw people saying she was like defending him. But I didn't see it, so I can't.
I saw what she was saying defending him, and then people were like coming at her like, okay, you know, we understand you're protecting this sentiment, but not when it comes to, you know, white men and blah, blah, blah.
And oppressors, yeah.
And she kept trying to like go back and forth, and then, yeah, I saw it.
You know, I love her. So I
love
like,
her
so
much.
Damn it, Erica. But I love her. I love her.
I do,
sorry.
Too.
Her and Osho, I'm just going to hide them away in my house.
I didn't even see it, but I heard Issa Rae was canceled.
Issa Rae was canceled.
Issa ain't even do shit. They mad at her some bullshit. A quote from a book in 2015 where she suggested that black... 2014. Even further to the point. So y'all know what the quote said. Issa didn't do nothing. We all just miss Insecure and we ready for season 3. Everybody's got ants in their pants. Issa ain't do nothing.
I didn't think it was a big deal, whatever it was, probably.
So we thought, you know, especially because it's May. It's going to be May. I just had to do it. It's May, so we're going to have 5 episodes this month, which is a lot. We didn't want to make it heavy. It's enough heaviness in the world right now, so we're just going to make it playful. It's not a wild card because there's no structure to it.
Wow.
But it's going to be more so of an off-the-cuff episode, meaning...
Off-the-cuff!
Whatever. Sante got all the ad-libs today.
I do. Migos. Put me in the booth. Let's go.
So it's an off-the-cuff episode, off the cuff. So whatever you guys want to talk about, if it was something funny, I definitely want to talk about the play. Because I feel like we...
It's a great place to start.
Yeah, let's set it off like Vivica.
We can talk. Let's set it off. So we can start there. And then that's whatever just comes up and just make it a really lighthearted, sort of playful episode today.
Well, set it off live for me, at least. You know, I walked into this theater knowing that I was going to experience. I knew that like LaToya Luckett, yes. Demetria McKinney, Kyla Pratt, and DeBrat, no rhyme intended. But I knew that the four of them were not going to do something so irresponsible with their careers and as hard as they've all worked to stay afloat. I knew they wouldn't just sign up for something that was going to be, you know, so campy and ridiculous and, you know, why is this being done? So I knew there had to be some spin. So I was so excited to see that they played the characters in a very, you know, comedic, you know, a very way. There was a tone that it kind of kept it lighthearted. They weren't trying to recreate the movie. They just highlighted all of our favorite parts and made us laugh, and it was very enjoyable. And I was grateful for that because they didn't take it too seriously.
It was really silly, which I loved.
Yeah.
And I came to it without any expectations. I wasn't thinking it was going to be the worst thing. I wasn't thinking it was going to be the best thing.
Right.
I just let it be what it is.
Right there with you.
And it was really funny. Mm-hmm. Like, we were cracking up.
It was.
Oh, we were. Whole
yes.
We were cracking up.
Cracking up. The audience was having a blast.
Yes.
The audience was recording.
Recording the whole time. The set was super cute.
The set was dope. They had the little graphics in the back, and they would just do a couple minor changes, which was really cool. I like how they did that.
And the writer-director, what was his name? Jaquavis? Oh, yeah, look at him being like, ah.
Let me find out.
While Dustin finds it, he got up afterwards and was saying how it was such a risk for him because when he told people he was putting this out, they were like, you're going to ruin a classic. Don't do it. And I think he did a good job.
Jacarius Johnson.
Ooh, I was not close at all.
I was going to say Jacarius. That's why I got
it. Jacarius, that's right, because you were saying that in the car. Jacarius?
Jacarius. J-E. Mark. Carious Johnson.
Okay, so him.
Yep.
And he was saying, you know, please spread the word and let people know to come see it. Yep. It was a packed house.
I appreciated that, though, because he said that he knew going into this, that creating this play, people are only going to respond one of two ways. They're either going to say, that's my movie, I can't wait to see this, or that's my movie, they better not fuck it up. And so he said the only way he can really get, you know, this play, keep it moving is with why am I so fucking tongue-tied? The only way he can get like this moving is through word of mouth. So he said, I saw you guys, you know, recording the footage, which I was like, damn, everybody is recording. It looked like
they
a
really
concert.
Were.
Like, you know, at concerts, everybody put the phones up and it looks like lighters everywhere at the stadium. Yeah,
Drew was showing me how you posted the end. And I watched it. I was like, to rewatch that on Instagram stories.
Imagine you just going through your stories and that come up by itself, not even the rest.
Because there was nothing. I just posted the Brad Cleo getting shot. And the man said we could post our footage, just don't give away the ending. And we didn't give away the ending.
Nope.
Right? Nobody gave away the ending. So I felt like we should post up. Since we don't want to say that, let's post up. So we posted it up.
What was your favorite part?
it was so many parts.
I just really do have to say that because Cleo is always one of my favorite characters and I was interested in seeing DeBrat play her. I just love the scene personally where they recreated the stripper scene.
Oh, yeah.
But it was just...
Oh, yeah.
But the way they did it and how the stripper had her funny little mama was kind of funny to me because in my mind, you know, I'm thinking like, you know, if the dance ain't over, I'm still
thinking that Shekinah? Who was the stripper?
I don't know
the what amazed
name.
Me the most about the stripper was that she was she too was the cop at the end.
Yes, she was. I peeped that.
I was
she
like,
was.
They didn't even switch her hair out.
Friend, that's
Drew was like, "That's ensemble, friend. You play whatever baby. Needs to be played.
You jump on in there." But I thought that it was all the girls. I think that well, not girls, but all of the actors: Latoya Luckett, Demetria McKinney, Kyla Pratt, and the Brett. We keep on you doing always that. Oh my God, I keep on doing that. Anyway, they all did a really good job. They did. They all made me laugh. They all were like playing to the audience really, really well. It was good. I really had a good time watching that play.
I even shout out to what was the boyfriend?
And
the other cop.
Yeah, the one with the lisp. The one that, what was his name?
Oh, never mind. I don't want to give away the end either. So yeah. That's because I was thinking about the other cop too.
I know. Remember the other cop, Ella Joyce? The one that Ella Joyce played in the movie, Asante was talking about her shoes.
No, I was not. And that's why I was over here laughing because he was terrorizing me during Asante the show. And the fact that he going to say that I did it. I didn't even believe that she could do that.
That he
I
said
was
she
over here
like...
quiet and you going to put that on me? I didn't even say he's going to put that
who
on me.
Who was it he said she looked like? Blue Cantrell?
Oh, I don't know.
He said somebody.
Well, what it was we was... Okay, so... So the lady that played the Ella Joyce cop role, you know, you got to be like a tough, hard ass. You know how Ella Joyce was playing in the movie. You got to act like that. Well, the fact that the lady that played the cop had that disposition and in her posture, it was just making me laugh for some reason. And so I looked down at the floor and I saw she had on a driving moccasin, but it was like they was flat to the floor.
A driving moccasin.
Everybody knows a driving moccasin is pliable, like it moves with your foot. But her shit was hard bottom, like a red bottom, like a bloody
like a
shoe. I'm like, God damn. So I just told her something, like, that's a stern loafer on her motherfucking foot. I said, because if that motherfucking loafer ain't moving, that mean her feet like this the whole goddamn time.
I swear y'all laughed the entire time.
And we were supposed to, so it was fine.
Yeah. It was so funny.
So for those of you out
between
there.
Between the two of you and then Drew,
Drew
laughed.
Can't help himself.
Drew just.
He can't help himself wherever he go.
And then me and Crystal were waiting to see if it was a musical. I was like, is it a musical?
It almost was.
And there was parts
that
were.
I mean, it kind of.
Yeah.
I wish they would have let Latoya sing Torn. She always does good singing that live.
I mean, yes, Torn is great.
Oh, I'm thinking Natalie Imbruglia. I'm like, yeah.
Ooh. She would sing that too. Latoya Luckett would
she
sing
would.
That.
That'd be pretty.
She would. That would be
that's
pretty.
What I thought you meant.
But if you're looking to have a black ass time, y'all should go check out.
Totally. With your friends.
Yes.
The audience was dressed too. I know y'all
yes,
like, I know y'all ain't gonna
up.
Skip over that.
They
that
sure
audience
were.
Was dressed.
So dress up, make it a whole black ass affair. Go get you some food, get high, get and they have drinks at the theater depending on where
Fendi
you go see it.
On.
And get there on time, y'all, because
yes.
I was amazed at how late people were rolling up.
Black people thought it was going to start on CP time. It does not start at CP time. It starts right on time.
And I don't know if it was just that King's Theater was cool with letting people in at whatever time.
Right, because you know some places will make you.
No, it's door closed. Play
right.
started. But they
see it at intermission.
Right.
It's like intermission.
But there are people coming in an hour after it started making everyone in the row stand up because they had to get through.
Families.
Only
droves.
In New York. But that was hilarious. Anything
it was
else?
A good time.
Any other funny news? I do have to say, okay, music related. So the yodeling kid.
Oh my
I love
God.
It. I love it.
The yodeling
I love
kid.
It. I know what you're about to say.
Got
I love
a
it.
Recording deal. And whoever his team is so brilliant because they got him signed and gave him a single so fast. Like, in his moment right now, he was just on Ellen. He was, what'd he do? He opened
Coachella.
For Post Malone and Coachella. Like, everyone knows those meme stars and, like, in viral sensations, whatever they call them. It's usually last, you know, a couple weeks, maybe
mm-hmm.
a month or two, if that. And the fact that they put his single out, and you guys, it is good.
Famous,
it is.
Right?
We were in the
it
car,
is.
Remember,
yep.
after the play on the way home, we put it in the aux cord.
Yep.
I know that driver right. was so over us.
First of all, that little boy sings.
He does.
Y'all.
Mason.
But I was dead that he's singing about love.
Right, because if I want to be famous...
Listen to his little voice.
Don't get me wrong, it's pretty cool to be on
hey.
TV.
Sing.
Folks back home to see me.
Millie Rock.
And that I'm living it up.
Living it up.
I used to dream about.
Miley who?
Dream about.
He is Cyrus.
Listen to him.
Butter.
But girl, ever since I met you, I got a whole new perspective.
What? That's fire. That was fire. We
Where's
said that.
That from? That's from a song. Perspective.
Right.
That's
that
Lil Mo, Superwoman.
I don't know, but when he did that, I was like, that's like a Drake or something. Like,
take it. Did they sample Rude Boy Rihanna? take it. Mason.
If y'all listening know what it is that I'm thinking of.
It's Lil Avocados, you know.
Mason Ramsey.
Y'all, he really did that. He's going to be like the next Taylor Swift. He deserves it, though.
That song was the shit.
And he has swag. Like, his voice has style.
I have listened to that song so many times.
Have you?
Yes. I put that song on the playlist.
Oh, my God, you did?
Yes. I like that song.
Famous.
Because when I hear it, I can listen to it all the way through because he actually just sounds good as hell. Like, I don't think anything about the Yodeling Boy or nothing. I'm just like, damn, he sounds good as hell. This is a good-ass song.
He can sing for real.
No, but he can. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm actually glad that... he's not just a yodeling kid in Walmart.
Exactly.
You know, it just happened to be discovered that way, but he's going to do well.
He's going to be an artist, and I'm going to forget all about it.
Right. He's going to be big enough to kind of, in a way, it's kind of, I mean, obviously they have nothing to do with each other, but like the way Cardi started off as an Instagram star and she was just known for being funny, you don't think about that now when you see her. You know what I mean? She's bigger than like her being a jokester, even though she still does it. But.
Right, it's part of her brand, but it doesn't. You don't think of her as like the Instagrammer that makes
music. No one thinks of Cardi as an Instagrammer. Like
no,
at all.
She's definitely more rapper before, or artist, or performer, or anything else before an Instagrammer.
She's a legitimate bona fide recording artist.
Exactly. So I'm curious to see. I'm happy for him because he's a singing ass little kid.
And what a great first single too. Like imagine like 2-5 years down the road where he has like a dope ass album or two, and it's like, we forgot this kid even did yodeling. Like, what was his first single?
Right.
And then we go back to this and we're like, damn, that was a good-ass song, too.
But he's like 5 talking about, I want to be famous for loving you. I was like, when I first heard it, I was like, this is a little bit uncomfortable.
Maybe he's talking about the Lord or something. Maybe
you
it's
know
like,
what?
Because you know
You're
people
right.
do that sometimes.
You're absolutely right.
See?
I'm going to, it's like, remember when Music Soul Child came out with Love?
Michelle.
And people were like, it's about God.
Which was so dumb.
So many things I want to tell
say,
you,
I don't know
but I'm afraid. I don't think about it.
I when you said it in that moment, I said, "Wow!"
And now every time I hear it, I'm like, "This is a gospel song." What's
you
that song
what?
You turned into a gospel song? Oh no, you no, it was a gospel song that you turned. Never mind. Wrong direction.
Hey. No matter what's going on. Hey. Yeah, but I'm happy for Mason Ramsey.
You
I think he's
not
a great singer. Be Encouraged is definitely a sexy gospel song. Everybody knows that. That's what the saints be getting into, baby.
Ooh.
You better believe it. They how you think they be saying? Why you think the marriages be so long? They be like, this pastor's 35th anniversary because they've been body rolling and Be Encouraged in them sheets. That's what's been going on. But anyway, Mason is a great singer. He hits those little high notes. I want him to work with Babyface and them.
Oh,
put him
I
in the studio with
that.
Babyface.
Give
yeah.
him some ballads.
Mm-hmm. Power ones. And whoever wrote The Power of Love for Celine Dion, let him work with them. Your lady.
You
Catch
know
him
what,
as
though?
The Yodeling Boy singing that.
You know who should get, I don't know if he would, but Claude Kelly would give that Ramsey kid an incredible country
ballad. Oh, my
ballad.
God. Claude would make him, because like,
Claude has given a lot of beautiful songs to Carrie Underwood. They've worked together a lot. And you know how Kelly Clarkson has her sort of country moments?
Mm-hmm.
Even Pink. Like, Claude can do that genre very well. It's a hard genre to break into as a black writer because it's, you know, they're kind of like, eh.
What you know about this? Yeah.
Right. So, but I think if he could squeeze that in there, man.
Oh, Claude.
He that kid up.
You can write me a country song, Claude. Friend.
Can you imagine Dustin coming
Don't
out the
kick
country?
Her. She's all
be
I got. I've been sitting on the porch. Everything's up north. And I'm stuck with you. I could do me
now,
a gospel song. Now, a country song.
Now, while you playing, if you could, if we could find you like the great country sound,
I'd do
you
it.
Would sell the
and
fuck out of country
everybody knows
look.
I got it.
You would sell the fuck out of a country
Was
look.
Was Booty in the Hope? Whoa. Whoa.
was booty in the hole.
Booty in the hole fit.
Wow.
And then you measure
stop.
Yours.
And then you stopped. You couldn't even finish.
Booty in the hole.
It's your fault with that damn clip. Hole fish. Oh, my God. Hootie and the blowfish. Hootie. Weren't they kind of country?
The guy, bluegrass. Darius Rucker from the group. Darius Rucker. He's a bona fide black country star.
Right.
Yeah.
But I felt like he struggled a lot with that too, because it was kind of hard for him to break the genre.
I heard black country singers it's the same thing. They just wear Timberland boots instead of cowboy boots. Is that the truth? Black female country singers wear them. Remember them J-Lo, them high-heel Timberlands, and Manolo Blahnik Tims.
Ooh, yes. I wanted those so damn bad.
I feel like somebody was just wearing them recently, and they was looking good. I was like, damn, I can't believe I'm about to bring these back.
It was Cassie, but it wasn't Manolo's. It was the Jordans with heels.
Oh, they are bringing those back.
Jordan heels?
They don't care. Look, if you can get with the right designer, and they could be like, you know, yes.
I mean, I know people get customized kicks all the time, but I don't know, that kind of threw
me off. It's still
kind of
like, what do you like?
Speaking of customized kicks, I just want to pour out a little liquor for them off-white Converse Chuck Taylors.
Yo, can we talk about these off-white releases?
That shoe, when I saw that Chuck Taylor with that clear ice blue sole, I just like my soul. When I saw the shoe sole, my soul. Was like, yes.
And the whole Chuck is clear.
Yes.
Ain't that crazy?
So whatever socks you're wearing will give it.
Yes.
Like, I want them shoes so damn bad. I can taste them.
I saw them on, there's an app for the sneakerheads. Y'all already know this. There's an app called GOAT that has, there's a sneakers app. It's spelled like SNKRS. Mm-hmm. But if you miss that release, then they have them on the GOAT app. But the thing about the GOAT app is you better have money because, like right now I looked and the Chucks were like $1,000.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It's kind of like eBay, except it's no bidding or auctioning. You literally just buy it.
I came across one of them websites where I was looking up the North Face, Supreme things that I'm never going to be able to get in my life.
Shiny ones?
Yes.
They're so you. Orange, the copper ones?
Wouldn't we all look cute in those? Like, we just be the Power
TLC.
Rangers? Because there was like a rose gold one, a silver one.
They have all that on the GOAT app.
Yeah, I know. I seen it on a third party website.
Or not GOAT. StockX. That's the...
Is that the one where it's like the green?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it shows you like the selling. Yeah, that's what I was looking at.
They have all the Supreme on there.
Yes. I was looking in Lesting and getting my entire life at all the Supreme North Face things.
Anyway, back to Mason.
Oh, I wanted to, but I wait till the music segment because there's so much music to talk about, so I won't even ruin that.
Yeah,
because the internet, all these videos,
there's so much.
But do you guys have anything else funny or stories outside of the play we saw this weekend?
Well, we do know that. Well, I personally just always know that it's getting nice outside.
Amen.
When my neighbors are arguing.
They back at it? They've been out there, Sante? I need to come by there and tell them, hey, man.
Do you miss the igloo?
The eagle's gone.
Okay.
It ain't ever coming back again. All I know is I was in my room and all I hear is, let me see your phone. Let me see it.
The fact that you can't.
I'm just sitting up there like, damn, you know what? I'm so happy it's nice out, but I forgot what comes with that. But then I had to say, actually, this means it's go time. Like, I don't know why, but them after arguing, I always just, like,
it
makes...
like a marker of time.
Because I'm always up late at night, and so the fact that these people are up late at night, too, arguing their asses off, like, it's entertaining to me, one. And B, it's almost like validation that it's okay. I mean, I already know that it's okay to be up late at night because I'm grown. But then it's like the fact that these people are up late at night arguing and saying all this bullshit, and I'm actually up here trying to work and getting shit done in, like, the weeest of the hours.
But the fact that it's been so many years, are they not tired yet?
They love the chaos.
You're tired yet?
They love it. I can't really talk about their relationship because I don't know enough about it. But from the love that I see there,
the love
through all the toxicity that I see, there is this level of like
When they're good, they're good. That much right. I can vouch for. Right. When they on good terms, they be sitting on that stoop.
Oh, out you've there seen them.
Several
they
times.
They be out there like eating crab legs together.
They're very you nice.
Know, they be smoking together. I'm sure she be like holding for them when, if the cops
Wait,
ever pull up.
Wait, they eat crab
like,
legs on the stoop?
Oh, baby, yeah. They get them pans out.
They like, cook crab legs on the stoop.
Like, they do everything. This is New York City. This is everything people ever told me it was.
Oh, gosh. And that's true, too, because that's how I know it's warm, because people have started putting the chairs on the sidewalk.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they set up shop. They set up shop.
But I do wonder how thin the walls are. Is it a New York City thing? Considering you've lived in different cities? Because my neighbor, first of all, I love my neighbor. Mm-hmm. She is like this, like, I'm going to say late 50s, early 60s, black woman who goes to church, but like, and she always has like the dope ass church hats and like the looks. Like, it's really, you know, like, she's in it. Mm. Always looks fly, but then she has these dope-ass house parties on the weekends. What? And it's just, like, all her and her friends. So it's, like, basically, I feel like I'm on a Joyner Cruz. His name, Tom Joyner Cruz. Because you can hear them all step in.
Yes!
But
friend, you'll never wonder.
Why I want to go.
Having a
I know,
ball.
I need to why stop I
wanna
by.
They play all the jams.
Oh, I want to stop by, friend.
It is so fun. You don't even understand. Like, I guess someone who maybe doesn't like black people or doesn't like music would probably get really irritated.
Right.
Because this is, like, every weekend. But I love it. It makes me happy. And yeah. She does it more when it's, like, nice out. So that's kind of my marker for time. Yes. She already started her parties. I'm like, oh, cute.
Everybody come over her house.
Yes.
I could totally see y'all going
come
over
on,
there.
Come on over.
Well, y'all I was on the her. Train. Since we Sharon.
Yes.
And since that lady's name is probably Sharon, because Sharon sounds like a lady that would have Sharon, cool single older lady parties.
Why should it really be her name?
But you know what? You know, I try my best, y'all, to be accommodating and just like, I don't know, step outside of myself. But sometimes shit just get on your nerves. Point example A. So I was on the train coming home from the gym, which I had went to after work, which means I was what? Say it with me. 3, 2, 1. Tired.
Oh.
You're right. So this particular day I had to ride the 2 train. So I get on 14th Street, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get on the 2 train. I'm getting off at 96. Whatever. I ride it up. As soon as we get up, 14th, the next stop on the 2 is 34th. We get to 34th Street. The doors open up. Ding, chime. On walks about 25 children.
All of them had balloons,
and they had like these shaker things that they had come from somewhere. No. Like, I don't know, some sort of maybe like a children's museum or something. No. But they all had purple shirts with big yellow balloons. There were 2 chaperones who were the most passive niggas I had ever seen in my life. Because these kids, they weren't like 2. You know what I mean? The kids were probably like 8 years old because they all were like old enough to, you know, they were having actually great conversations amongst each other, but they were just bad and loud. So I was having a great time on the train because I had gotten an edge seat. Everybody knows you want to be on the corner where the metal bars
Every
are.
Time.
That's the seat. I had one of them. You know, I had somewhere for my bag. I didn't even have to man spread. Everything was great.
Yes.
The next stop, 34th Street, boom, welcome to hell. As soon as the doors opened up, all I heard was, if you want to find hell with me, I can show you what is. So, but then the funny thing was, as these kids are, I mean, it was whizzes and bells and dings and chimes and balloons and shit and hands and little juice box. It was a kid shit everywhere, right? I happen to look up. There was a white guy across from me. He had like kind of scraggly kind of hair, like glasses, baggy clothes. You know, you could tell he was like a kind of a rebel or whatever. But I looked up at him and we had the conspiratorial, we ain't got no damn kids glance. So like I looked up at him and he looked at me. He was like, and we both kind of rolled our eyes up in our head and then like busted out laughing. So I just thought that was hilarious. You know, it's part of the no kids brigade. You know what I'm saying?
It's sometimes crazy because you, I mean, I'm sure you remember when you were in high school, junior high, maybe even elementary school, not elementary, it's too young, taking public transportation by yourself.
Not as a child.
No, not that young. But it's weird because now when I see them, I'm like mortified.
Yeah, it's they're too many so moving parts. They're so loud.
They're usually talking about the craziest, most embarrassing shit. Mm-hmm. And that's how I know that I'm old. Because a lot of the times I'll turn my head and look over like, are y'all serious?
I'll never forget being on the train. Are y'all seriously
talking about this on the train so that the entire car can hear it?
I'll never forget being on the train and them talking about the Janae Aiko Eat the Booty Like Groceries and they were little kids. And I was like, I have to turn my headphones up. I have to turn it up louder because this is not my business and they're children.
We're officially those people yep. that used to look at us like that. Yep. But you can't help it. Sometimes they just be talking about some shit.
And I remember I absolutely was sometimes talking some shit because I was like, these adults can't say shit to me because they don't know me, so what's up? Like, like we would be talking
back
about the
most, day, right?
Yeah, because it's like, they would be looking like, oh my gosh. My mama. But it's like, right, it's like, nigga, I'm grown. Like, I did high school. Oh I'm God. Out here. Like, I got a car outside. Like,
how the tables have turned.
Damn, and now I'm looking at these kids like, have some respect. I'll never forget, we used to have this teacher in high school, and she always used to say that to us. She was like, have some respect. But then everybody...
For yourself.
They used to... And for yourself was where she was missing respect, so people used to, like, play her. Like, her business as a teacher, like, as a person, was out there in school.
Oh, no.
So people used to walk all over her, and it's like, y'all gotta leave her alone. She'd be like, you guys, have some respect. And they'd be like, how about you have some? And so then she would kind of get, like, real chill, and I'd be like, damn. But then I would still leave with everybody else.
How about you have some?
It was fucked up. I don't even want to say her name, because I keep thinking about it. But I hope she's doing okay.
And having a little respect.
Yes. I was one of them fucked up kids in school. I see what you mean.
That's why when these kids are running through the train car.
That's why when they get on the train, I'd be looking like, what?
Running, like having races going. And hell I was just like, I can't believe this is happening right now. Who races in a train car?
Between them and people that just be filming that little shit on the train. I should be thinking, like, y'all can't do this late at night when nobody's on here and get y'all some extras or some shit. Like, y'all got to film y'all extra bullshit right now. Like,
did y'all see the video of the guy's pit bull that bit the ladies?
Yes.
No.
You didn't see it?
I did not.
I did, and he wasn't doing anything to make the dog release, nothing.
You didn't see that?
No.
Baby, that dog was letting that girl shoot. I'll tell you. You want me to tell you what happened?
Yeah, you could tell me. I just didn't want to watch it because I know my mom was real reactive about, like, she was bit when she was younger, and so she was always real, like,
she won't let that
So whenever I see it, I just think my mom was like, I don't even want to see it.
Right.
But you tell me. Tell me.
Please. I don't even want to tell the story.
Sorry. I didn't mean, I was just saying that's why.
Damn.
I just like,
right. Damn. You don't said it. Because my mama.
my mama.
No, never mind. Just, you know, it's out there.
I mean, long story short, a guy was on the train with his pit bull. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me why. And right. We don't know how it started because the video just cuts in with the dog just going ham on this
letting
lady's sneakers. And then obviously everyone's freaking out and yelling and the lady's yelling and people are telling him, get the dog off of her. And the guy just didn't know how. Like he was pulling the dog, which obviously doesn't help. You're aggravating it more and yanking the chain. And then finally someone says, tell the dog release. And then the guy says, release. And the dog lets go.
The thing was.
After like 10 minutes.
It wasn't like he was like yanking the dog like, come on. He was so like just lackadaisical, just passive. Like it was no big deal. And he was being rude to the other people, including the bitey. He was being rude to her. Like. As if they were wrong for suggesting that you tell this dog to let her the fuck go.
Well, he was saying that she started it. He said she attacked the dog. That's what he was saying in the end. He was like, yeah, she started it. What'd she expect? She was aggressing. She was being aggressive towards the dog. And...
You want me to tell you what made me laugh, though?
What? Right? Oh, gosh. There was nothing funny about
it. It was one thing. And it was at the end, too, when the dog finally let go of the girl. Remember what she said?
What she said?
No, mind you, the reason this was funny, Lord, I got tears coming down my eyes. The reason that it was funny was because the girl, you didn't hear nothing from her while that dog had that foot.
This nigga is really crying.
Like the whole time the dog had that foot, you didn't hear nothing. But
this nigga is really crying.
Is she calling the motherfucker?
After the dog let her go, she was like, you can tell. Let me get it together. After the dog let her go, you could tell she started processing the fact that the dog had finally let her go and she was out of that much danger because she started reacting. She finally was like, let's take a dog!
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I swear to you.
He is assigned to
if you watch, because when I tell you that part took me out the game. Because you watch, you can see it happen. Like, you can see the steps take place. Once she realized that the dog was off of her, she
said, the white girl was brave. You saw the white girl?
Fran.
Because let that have been me, I would have slid my ass away from
Until my stop. Until my stop.
Look, you would have saw me smooth slide out that damn car because the white girl literally was in
down
between.
In there.
I guess the lady was like, literally she was in the middle of the lady and the dog. So she was, I guess she felt pressured, like, let me help. So she's like yanking it both sides and I'm like, couldn't be me.
Did y'all hear the one?
Would you have done that if you were sitting there in between?
No. Shit. Oh, goddamn live rabid dog fucking biting the shit out of... You see these two fingers right here? Peace
and
like out.
That dude on Twitter when he does the peace sign and disappears.
Retrospect, y'all.
The shit.
Listen, did y'all see that headline? Speaking of crazy shit. Did y'all hear about the lady who tweeted that she had left like a 3-star review on Yelp for that restaurant?
What? Oh, shit. Nah, what
so
happened?
There's this lady.
Oh, I like this already, I think.
Oh, God.
So this lady tweeted, like, y'all, I'm not going to believe this shit. Let me find it so I can read it verbatim because the words are what make it funny. But basically, long story short, this lady ordered something off of Yelp, some food or whatever, left a review on Yelp for the restaurant saying that, you know, her burger didn't have anything on it. You know, she really let them have it in the review, and she left them 3 stars or whatever. So she said, why do I get a call at 10 o'clock, and it's the fucking manager, and he's outside knocking on my apartment door?
What?
What?
The manager pulled up on her, knocked on her door, and called her like, I'm outside. So the article that the fucking Shade Room posted had the, I was waiting for you at the dough face, the guy like, manager pulls up on customer over Yelp review. So she tweets like, first of all, nobody comes to my house, so anybody knocking on my door at 10 p.m. is all kind
of
wild.
Of course.
She said, second of all, she said...
What?
She said, second of all this over a fucking Yelp review. She said, and Yelp support ain't gonna do nothing about this. Like, whatever. The restaurant finally responds and says, the reason that the manager was there was because the description on Yelp for the burger was wrong. And so he wanted to bring you the order and personally apologize.
At 10 p.m.
Yeah, right. At 10 o'clock at night, it was totally a misjudgment or whatever. But the way the girl worded it, it was so, I could not believe. People are just, who
this
does that?
Oh,
she was like,
all
this over
Virginia.
At Yelp. You see it?
Yes.
Yes, Asante. Read her tweets, please.
Well, what I see right here is the review, and the review is 1 star, because she said, I tried this place based on the reviews, and... It's like a whole paragraph, but then it's an updated review under it, and it says, I originally gave the place a 3-star review.
Oh, shit.
But now it's being reduced to 1 star because the manager showed up at my house on a Sunday night at 10 p.m. because he obviously wasn't pleased with the review and wanted to talk. Not only that, he repeatedly called my phone to let me know he was standing outside the door. WTF, I do not answer my door late at night to anyone.
Y'all, how do you get out?
How dare you show up at my house? What kind of business are you running? And yes, the police have been notified. I also wouldn't be surprised if all these positive reviews were done by friends, associates, since it seems as though many of the reviews were done by people with 1 or 2 reviews on their profiles. Next time, don't ask for a review if you don't want the truth. Because the person that delivered when she originally ordered the burger, they told her to leave a review on Yelp. And so that's why she did it. So the fact that she left the review and then this nigga stayed outside her house. But in the original review, she was saying when she left it the 3 stars, she's saying that she tried the place based on reviews. And the fact that they had Chipotle's on the menu, which you don't come by often, ordered the cheeseburger, which was very dry and unseasoned. Also did not come with lettuce or tomato. The Chipotle's barely had any powdered sugar on them and were soggy from the styrofoam container. I would suggest sending them to people in small paper bags. Maybe next time I'll try the pizza. So she did say maybe next time for a 3-star review, but the fact that that nigga showed up at 10 at night,
unannounced.
Listen to this tweet, right? So shout out to her, because I guess we back in the Twitter streets. Her name is Yesha, Y-E-S-H-A, Callahan. And she said, so the night just got weird. My dinner was delivered, and the delivery guy asked me to leave a review on Yelp. So I left a 3-star review because it was mediocre. Why did the manager motherfucker just knock on my door at 10 p.m. and then call to say he was outside? What WTF? A, no one comes to my house, so to hear someone knocking at 10 p.m. is all types of crazy. B, did he really think I was going to answer the door or even a phone number I don't recognize? All this over an average Yelp review.
Do y'all use Yelp to decide on where to eat?
No.
Not to eat. I mean, I have used it to get my phone screen fixed, but not to like decide where to eat.
Because it's kind of fucked up reviews. If you think about it. Like, anybody can write anything. Someone could just dislike you and fuck up your whole ratings. It's like Sesame Credit.
Right.
With the China, you know, but except the crowd has control of your rating. I mean, that doesn't justify him coming knocking on her door, but I understand the stress.
That makes me think about why, when I worked at restaurants, how I hated when we would get secret shoppers, because then people thought to only do the right thing when they were being secretly shopped, as opposed to it always being the right thing. And then when you would get a secret shopper, let's say if you were a restaurant that always had everything in place all the time, somebody secret shops you, they just supposed to get it the right way. But because people are people and emotional, they might not like something you did in service, but that might be something personal. And so when I read a review, sometimes they're like, I give this place 1-star because they had salt, but they didn't have seasoned salt. And it's like, bitch, it's a restaurant. They shouldn't have no seasoned
have
salt.
Himalayan you just pink salt.
Right. You know, little stuff like that. So then I just think, I'm not going to trust no reviews. Like, let me just see for myself. Or like, let me see what's on the menu. How's it looking in there? All right, I'm going to try it. If not, but if people do recommend me stuff, people I know and trust, I'll be okay, I might, you know, I'm making a point to put that in the repertoire.
You know what it reminds you? You know how in the car we were looking at our ratings? For Uber.
Oh, yeah.
Why are all of our ratings low?
On Uber. Y'all been cussing everybody out.
Not me, girl.
How you find your rating? Let me look at mine
right
now.
It's on the side.
What was funny was I didn't even know my rating was in the app. I just always have good conversation.
I don't know how it came up.
I don't know either. We were talking about them ratings, and I was like, I think I'm like 4.7. And they're like, if you have 4.5 or 4.6, it's good. And I looked at like 4.81. I was like, well, look at
me. I'm at 4.56.
Hey. Where we at?
That so we bad.
The ghetto. Look, stick with me, kiddos.
The ghetto.
Damn. Why do I have a bad grade on Lyft?
I mean,
on Uber.
I know why mine is bad. Because I was saying in the car, how I have this bad habit of calling it while I'm still in my apartment. By the time I get down there, you don't know how long they are. Sometimes they're like a minute away.
And you know what?
And then I'm like, oh, fuck. And I go put on my jacket, jump down the elevator, and then they're waiting.
That's
they
really
get
real.
Annoyed.
Because I hate when I get an Uber and it'll be like 2 or 3 minutes out, and then it get down to 1 minute, and then I go downstairs, and then it's like canceled, and a new car comes in, it's 5 minutes. And then I'm like, damn, I'm right here. How are you just going to do that shit to me?
That's why I just wait. I mean, I do it from the house, but that I know they don't like to wait. And then I talk on the phone, which I know is probably annoying, too.
Well, first of all, you're paying them, so.
True.
Speak
and,
up.
And I've had drivers who have asked me for my number or, like, if they could take me out. And if I say no, I already know automatically. Like, they're going to be like,
let me take
star.
You down a notch.
Yeah. It's happened a lot. It's kind of gross. I really hate that. They make you feel so uncomfortable.
Well,
that shit made me think about Black Mirror, and I was like, I can't believe I got a good rating on something.
What, the Uber had tinted windows? Black Mirror?
I wish. Although, I have been getting some randomly nice-ass Ubers.
Not me.
I've been getting them Infinities.
Some janky little lifts.
Them little
be
Chrysler.
Embarrassing. You come out. You ever been in one that stink, and you wonder if you're going to stink? Tell me that's never happened. You'd be like, it kind of stinks in here. Am I going to stink when I come out?
So why the other day, me and Crystal got in the car?
You laughing because you know
why the other day we got in the car and the driver had fucking farted?
Oh, that happened to me.
We get in the car and it stink. And, yep. Me and Crystal looking at each other like, what the hell? And so then the nigga going to pull up into the corner and he going to say, I'm gonna run in there and grab something to drink. That's okay. And in my mind, we looking like, how you just gonna pull over? And then we were like, okay. And then he come back. Then he ain't even had no damn drink. Why, Chris?
He went to fight to finish the fight.
Cause why when he, oh, why the first thing I did was roll the window all the way down. Oh. I don't play no games with
you. I don't either. I speak up. Look, I smelled that sweet smelling, that sweet chili fucking smell that I got in that taxi. I said, now, it's one thing. I know this is New York. And it's notorious for city smells. You know what I'm saying? And it's a few things might be a little pungent, but I said, but that is a fucking fried motherfucker. You pooed it. You fucking sweet. You ate something with a whole bunch of sugar in it because you got that sweet fucking piercing fucking shitty baby shit smell when you farting. That's what it was. It was like it was a hot fart coming out. That's what it smelled like. And I called it out because if you going, you bad enough to do that, I'm going to let you know I know. And you fucking stink. Ooh. You need to take a shower after you fart like that.
You know what that reminds me of? There was this dude once that came to my house, and we were eating, and then, like, maybe, like, an hour later, he was, like, that he was craving McDonald's, and I was, like, we just ate, you know, like, but I was, like, whatever, and I'm, like, okay, and he's, like, I'm gonna go find, like, the nearest one, I'll be back, and he goes to McDonald's, and I was, like, this is so random, because this is, like, we're chilling at my house. And then I was, like, I can come with you. He was, like, no, like, I don't want you out, because it was late. And you could tell he was full of shit. I forgot about it. A couple years later, we're talking, and he tells me that he had to take a shit. And he didn't want to do it in my house.
Bless his heart, then. He's a good guy, man.
That's actually love if you let him go.
Let me tell you something. Imagine he would have went in there and wore that bathroom out. Imagine the story you'd be telling today then.
Because it was the first time he ever came to my house, and he was like, I had this shit so bad. And I was like, how am I going to do
that? Whatever you fed it, whatever y'all ate at his house.
It was like, well, you be cooking that healthy shit
too, friend. Cleaned him out.
Moved it right on through him.
He had a vegetable cinching metal.
But you used to gave that nigga some kombucha. Kombucha.
He combusted.
You gave him some kombucha.
But that's what that reminds me of. He was like, I gotta get out. I gotta go.
He was crowning like he about to have a baby. He was crowning. He was like, I gotta go now.
But I was like, the fact that that's what he came up with. I'm craving McDonald's. But anyways, that's it for this week's most random hot button of all time. Asante is still there. So let's jump in.
I gotta go get something to drink. Anything. Yeah, okay.
I'm so dead at things. The fact that he farted when y'all walked in.
I can see you in Crystal faces.
We got in the cab and I just looked at like and you know, Crystal, she making the same face back at me, but looking side to side like, and so I just casually was like, do 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 do, and rolled my window right all the way down.
And you know, he was stuck so my head stressed out. When you
that's
did
why
that.
That's why he pulled. You know where Crystal lived.
That's why he pulled it.
That might have been why he pulled it. I don't know. I don't want to know. But I tell you, he pulled his ass right over to that corner when I rolled that window down and said, I have to go in and get a drink. Is that okay?
He said, I got to go to McDonald's.
Right. He's like, okay. And then his ass went in there and came back out. I didn't have no drink. And Crystal going to text me. He had to go finish farting. And I was like, well, at least he didn't do that shit in here.
I'm glad she texted me.
I was about to
speak out loud. The fart talking out loud. Y'all look, might as well join it. Win in Rome.
Well, look, you know, the ratings. She didn't want to say nothing to lose her rating.
Well,
my God. Wait a minute. How could we forget? Wait a minute.
Oh, Lord. The fact that Fran is dying.
Fran is out.
When we got out of the Uber after the play, we went to for XD's birthday. Mm-hmm. And when there was a coat in the back seat, and oh my Drew God. Took it, oh thinking my God. It was a
wait, 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 wait! I can't believe it. Wait, okay, so look. That shit was funny. So we had just got finished in the car having that whole conversation about ratings and shit. I felt like felt like we just got finished talking about him. But anyway, we getting out the car, and in the back seat, there was a t-shirt and a sweater or some shit. And so we all get out. I let all the ladies out, close the door. Drew comes over, and he's got like a t-shirt and a sweater. And I didn't know what it was, and he's trying to hand me the t-shirt. And so I was like, oh, no. So I opened the door right quick before the cab driver drove off and threw the t-shirt back in there and shut it. And then we get back inside, and now this nigga's trying to hand me the sweater. I'm like, that's not my sweater either. So the driver literally pulled over. Like, you hear him getting honked down. Like, the cars had already honked him for making a bad turn. So then this nigga pulls over, and instead of Drew just going back over to give him the shit,
he was shook because he was like, he's going to think I stole it. Right? And the guy's coming towards us to the restaurant, and like, Drew's like, oh my God, he's coming into the restaurant.
I'm like, just give him the sweater. I'm going to give this to him.
And we were so shook.
We were like, oh, shit. He's going to think we stole his coat.
Because y'all took that damn sweater.
Right. He's going to take his rating back or some shit.
But the fact that he was coming into the restaurant, yeah, I was like, this nah, is so, it's XD's birthday. We about to get jumped by the Uber driver. But then Drew runs Woo. Out and gives him. And then when he comes back, he was like, dang, Crystal's rating about to drop. Because it was her name. And Crystal turns around and goes, what are y'all talking about? We were like, nothing.
Nothing. We could.
Oh, my God.
Fucking hilarious. Damn.
Woo. Anyways.
Oh, my.
Today's episode of The Friend Zone is supported by Talkspace, which is the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time. All you need is a computer with an internet connection or the Talkspace mobile app. That means you can improve your mental health even if you've had trouble making time for it in the past. Remember, therapy is not just about venting your innermost thoughts or digging into childhood stinking-ass memories. It's also about practical, everyday strategies for stress management and living a happier life. Having a therapist simply provides you a designated person to talk to who is trained to listen and help you make positive changes. The Talkspace platform has over 2,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing life challenges that we all face. To match with a perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/zone and use the code ZONE to get $45 off your first month and show your support for this show. That's code ZONE and Talkspace.com/zone. Talkspace, therapy for how we live today.
So let's jump into this week's. I'm still dead at Drew going, wait a minute, whose sweater is this?
Because he had already tried to give me a shirt. I'm like, this is not mine. And so then he come in with the sweater. He's like, I thought this was one of y'all's. I'm like, where are you? You're just picking up clothes. But I guess the Uber driver just shouldn't have stuff in the back seat. People getting in and out of.
Ooh, my chest. Stairs. I can barely breathe. All right, let's jump into this week's wellness segment. Friend. So I'm going to read a quick passage. I'm trying to get my chest together.
I'm going
to
get through this. Are Daniel Bedingfield and Natasha Bedingfield related?
Sister and brother.
They are. Okay.
Oh, cute. Ready? How to classes exist for every dimension of sexuality, even masturbation. Did you guys know that? I didn't know that.
I knew that, but I wouldn't. I felt like I got a handle on things.
It's yet, a one-lane highway. Go ahead.
Whoa. Yet schools for love do not exist. Everyone assumes that we will know how to love instinctively. Despite overwhelming evidence to the contrary, we still accept that the family is the primary school for love. Those of us who do not learn how to love among family are expected to experience love in romantic relationships. Mm. However, this love often eludes us, and we spend a lifetime undoing the damage caused by cruelty, neglect, and all manner of lovelessness experienced in our families of origin and in relationships where we simply did not know what to do. Only love can heal the wounds of the past. However, the intensity of our woundedness often leads to closing of the heart, making it impossible for us to give or receive the love that is given to us. To open our hearts more fully to love's power and grace, we must dare to acknowledge how little we know of love in both theory and practice. We must face the confusion and disappointment that much of what we were taught about the nature of love makes no sense when applied to daily life. Contemplating the practice of love in everyday life, thinking about how we love and what is needed for ours to become a culture where love's sacred presence can be felt everywhere, I wrote this meditation. As the title, All About Love, New Visions, indicates, we want to live in a culture where love can flourish. We yearn to end the lovelessness that is so pervasive in our society. And this book tells us how to return to love. All About Love, New Visions provides radical new ways to think about the art of loving, offering a hopeful, joyous vision of love's transformative power. It lets us know what we must do to love again. Gathering love's wisdom, it lets us know what we must do to be touched by love's grace.
Damn.
So that's just the intro.
And my ass is already whipped.
Right, I gotta go to Barnes & Noble right now.
Woo! All About Love, New Visions by Bell Hooks. You guys.
The damn Bell Hooks.
Oh, my God. People have been telling me to read this book for years now. It came out in 2000, so it's not a new book at all. But like all things, I always think things come to your life when they're supposed to. And I just was putting it off. Never got around to it, or I bought it and just never sat to actually read it. Or, you know, we have tons of books. I have so many books that I always need to get to first. Mm-hmm. But I finally started it this week, and I, you guys, must read. We don't have a book club on this show, but if we have to start one, this is where we start.
That's where we
starting? Right. This book right here, All About Love, New Visions by Bell Hooks. You guys, you have to read it. I love it because she uses science, which you know is my favorite. She uses psychology, anecdotes from her own life, admits, you know, her own faults and where she's gone wrong and how she wants to change that, her stories with her partners, family. Goes a lot into how most books about love, and the fact that there aren't very many, that's what's even interesting. She kind of highlights that. But most that do exist are written by men. Mm. And she's saying that, you know, the woman's voice is missing in stories about love. And just, I don't even know how to explain. Like, it is one hell of a book.
I mean, that was one hell of a passage you chose.
You know? And she basically is saying, like, none of us know what the fuck we're doing.
So shut up about it. That's what I got out of it.
Right, and what I loved about it is that she says, when we think about love, whether it's, like, the songs, books, stories, it's usually us describing the absence of it. Mm. And no one really knowing what it feels like to have it. And so this is just a really incredible study of it. And, you know, love is such a, like, mushy thing and some people feel awkward. Even when I was reading it on the train, like the cover, I was kind of like covering it with my hands. I was like, oh, I must look so cheesy. Like, reading a book about love.
Don't get the wrong idea.
But honestly, the way she breaks it down, bruh.
Bell Hooks.
Everyone needs to read this. Required reading. This is summer. Oh my God, summer reading.
Oh, yes.
Remember, you used to have summer reading. Yes. That's what we'll call our book club, summer reading. So this is on the docket.
Summer reading.
Summer reading.
Summer long. Reading, right. Remember the summer reading list?
I do.
Where your teacher would give you the whole list. Was that it? They would give you a list?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember how it worked.
I guess it was different for everyone, but right. I remember sometimes, like, we would go to school for, like, open house or something, and they would have, like, the summer reading list. It was, like, the materials list. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, broken down by grade or whatever you were looking at. But I remember reading all
things.
Of those books and thinking, I don't know when this test going to happen. That's all I thought about. And plus, the summer reading was also linked to the Pizza Hut program that did you know, they did their report card program. Well, ours also had like the summer reading program. For every book that you read and you took a test on, you got a little free personal pan pizza.
What? Okay. We didn't have that.
I remember.
I guess
all
New
that.
York is too big. Pizza
personal
Hut would
pan
be bankrupt.
Pizza. Yeah.
It was the kids' personal pan too. So you know, it's like a little 5-6 inch pizza.
I used to love those.
I was a little kid, so it was good enough.
So good.
Kids love personal pizza.
Love them. As a grown ass man, I love them little kids with little size pizzas. So cute, so petite.
So that's it. That's literally all I have to say for this week's wellness, because reading is fundamental.
Amen.
That's right. Fun for your mental.
And honestly, I've been making it more of a point to read more. I always read like my science books and different self-help. I love the self-help section. But I'm trying to read things beyond that. You know, even though this is kind of self-help in a way, but I love just her theorizing. But Bell Hooks has always been
OG, baby.
That's the OG. Everything she writes. What Maya Angelou said, it's always a moment when she releases something, and it's so true. So check that out. And if you've read it already, I would, of course, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Because I'm not done. I'm only like a quarter of the way. If you want to share your perspective or comments on it, I always look through SoundCloud. So I'll be checking out for those. And you can tweet me as well. But that's it. That's it for this week's wellness. Let's jump on to Mr. Music Man. Yeah, I'm excited. You know,
this is, before we get to the music segment, that came right on time because I do need to buy a bookcase. I realize I have a lot of books. A lot of books that
I have three bookcases
now. I have a lot of books that I have read, and then I have a lot more books that I have not read just because I have such an excess of books.
Mm-hmm,
and
same.
So I was like, I need to give me a bookcase, a bookshelf or something, and put all these books on here, and now I have another book to add to the list.
Yes, thanks, please. Friend.
From Bell Hooks.
Now I have Bell Hooks to add to the books.
And all I have this bad habit of buying books and not reading them.
Yes, I have. There's a pile of that too.
Such a pile. A couple of piles.
Half read, half unread, half that I just bought that I don't know when I'm gonna read. moving on into music land. Let's start with you. Let's start with listens lately, and I guess we'll go from there.
Okay.
You know,
switch it up.
Well, I feel like because we do listens lately and like it's like an extended episode anyway, this way we can talk about people for a little bit. Lately, I've been hearing the Ella May song, Boot Up, because I know she just dropped her video for it.
I love that song so much.
You know, my friend manages her.
Really?
Yes. Shout out to Miko.
Shout out to Miko. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to see Ella May perform when she was
Me
here.
Me too.
She was performing at the Mercury Lounge, I think the same night that Xavier Omar was performing here. And he knows her, too, because they was like, oh, yeah, that's family. So everybody in that little community, I love that community of, like, R&B, progressive, whatever. Like, I feel like everybody's, like, doing their thing. And I know she did a lot of work with DJ Mustard because he discovered her. Mm-hmm. And I love those tracks that she does with him. So
I have a really good memory to that song.
Yeah?
I was on a party bus in Vegas. And I was dancing with somebody I wasn't supposed to be dancing with, and we were standing right next to the girl who was playing the music.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like after the club, on the way to like an after hours, so everybody was like in the zone, and so she like peeped that everybody was kind of like, you know, booed up a little bit, and like she played that song, and like people were like dancing. And I'll just never forget that.
It's super cute.
She makes really good music. She's put out, I think, 3 or 4 EPs, and I've always wanted to see more from her. So I think it's her year.
Hey.
So I want to see more of that.
And it did well. I think it had, like, millions of views in a matter of, like, a 2-day span.
Good.
Yeah,
for her.
She was super hyped about that. Listens lately, Janelle Monae.
Oh, Dirty Computer.
Dirty Computer. First of all, the emotion picture.
The emotion picture was,
I finally got to see it.
Amazing.
You know what's funny? I watched it on the treadmill.
Yeah?
Yep. I put my iPad.
Yes.
Put it up against
the
screen.
Really, really
and
good.
Watched it. And I literally ran farther and faster than, because it had my heart rate.
That's
dope. Yeah. Because of the movie. Yeah, it was a good idea. I'm going to start doing that from now on.
That's really, really good.
Right? It distracts you. So while you're not focused on how you're breathing or that you're tired, you're like actually in the movie. So that was really cool. Her and Tessa are so cute. I don't know if that's really a thing or not. If people just projecting because they want it to be a thing. But
I don't know
it's
nothing about none
way.
Of that. But yeah, they look really cute together if that is their piece.
Yeah. And even if it's just Janelle finding her special and beautiful and wanting to, like, you know, honor her and all
it's
her
dope.
Visuals, it's still beautiful.
Yeah. Because you see, she was still doing both. She was doing both. She was.
So I like that. And Don't Judge Me.
Oh, yes.
Those two have been the ones that I've had on heavy rotation.
I like that when it first came out. I was like, this is definitely, I was surprised it didn't come out sooner, but I see why it needed to be a single later. Especially
and
when
slower.
Yeah, especially with what she put out first when she was rapping. Was it Django Jane?
Mm-hmm.
And I loved watching her interviews, too, actually. I watched her interview with Breakfast Club and where she was talking about how she liked They were talking about, you know, Django Unchained, how people had opinions about it. And she was like, it was dope to see black people, you know, taking their shit back and do that whole thing. Like, I just like her. I like her opinions on certain things and how they shape her art. Because she also talked about how there was that era of people doing visuals, like, you know, when Michael Jackson did the movie. And we have seen that today with, you know, Beyonce doing her movie. But I don't feel like we have enough women.
And Ashanti Say Less.
I don't know how Ashanti got there. We don't have enough.
Ashanti had a movie?
It's just a music video. But there's a little bit of packaging on the ends, right, Ashanti? There's a story there that's added to the music, right?
It does not go in line with the number on it. Although.
Is it an emotion picture?
Although, since you did enter her into the equation, Ashanti's video, Say Less, she does look great in it. And if Janelle Monae would have had Ashanti wearing the pussy pants in one of them scenes, she would have lit him up. She was looking great. But I just really think that there was that era of, there's an era of women doing movies or like long format visuals that's missing. Even though Beyonce does it, a lot of people didn't receive, and I hate to always do this, but Dawn, when she just did like a bunch of different types of visuals, like she went from transcending R&B to like doing electronic and doing her own genre and decided to like do these different waves of animations and like even stripped down visuals just to give people more dance and just the way she thinks about doing that. So I think it's really dope when people are really intelligent in how they express themselves. And I think Janelle Monae does a really great job of doing that. And it inspires me to like the 10th power. I love it. I just want more of it.
Yeah, she looks awesome. And what I love about Janelle's is she is such an artist. She writes. She sings, she raps,
dances.
Obviously, these are all her visions. You know what I mean? I'm sure she had a heavy hand in creative direction. And I mean, she's just awesome. And then she's an actress, an incredible actress.
Incredible actress.
She just seems like one of those people that can kind of do no wrong, like everything she does. So that's what I've been loving from Dirty Computer. The internet released Roll Burbank Funk. And I love it.
I haven't checked it out yet.
It's a very feel good.
It is,
you know,
a perfect summer record. Yeah. Perfect timing. The video was super cute with them dancing around.
I haven't seen the video yet, unfortunately.
I like the video because it starts off, it's just their shadows in the outfits. So their bodies look black, but then you see the outfits and they're moving around. So it's just cool.
I'm gonna check it out.
You gotta watch it. Who else? I think that's it. Oh, I was telling you, I'm going to get killed for this.
Oh, God. No, why?
So, I wanted to know what.
Are you going to leave with a question?
I'm like, you know, I'm a student. I like to study why people are popular. I'm just always curious.
I'm with you, friend.
So, when someone's big, I'm like, what is it about them that's working? And so I sat and listened to the Post Malone album.
I knew you was going to say it.
I just had to know.
I can't fight it either, friend.
Because he's huge. And the only song of his that I know is Rockstar, which is a good song. I like it. It's catchy.
That's good cab music. Rockstar is a good song, like when you're in the taxi from spot A to spot B. And that comes on, everybody's in the car, has been drinking, y'all be like, oh.
Right.
It's a good one of those songs.
I think it's a good song. I get why it's big. It's catchy. It's a great festival record, party record. But I listened to the project, and I get it.
Right.
I get it. I get why he's big, because he is that sort of cross between rock and I wish people could see your face.
I'm glad they can't.
Rock and hip hop. And so I get it. Am I saying I enjoyed it and would listen to it? Probably not. But I get it. I get why he is popping. It's just so crazy. I've never listened to him before. Are you a fan?
No, I'm not. I'm not a hater either. There are songs of his that I have not hated and I liked. Like, I actually, when I first heard White Iverson, I remember thinking, like, I like the way that this is produced and done. I do not like or care for the song. And I really loved when India covered it, but I didn't, you know, I hate the content of the song. But she just sings it so well that I can't help but not like the song. So there are songs of his that I'm like, all right, this is cool. Like, on that project, I listened to the one with Nicki Minaj, and I thought it was a dope project. Mm-hmm. It was a dope-ass track. But I just don't care to go and be like, let me just listen to the whole thing.
But was it but King Kong?
No.
Yes, it's King Kong.
It's a King Kong?
Yes, Miss King Kong.
Oh. Something ping pong.
But yes, Post Malone.
Did I tell you that I was listening to it and then she's like, I need a my tie. And something's like, fine. Who has the password for the motherfucking Wi-Fi? I was like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I finally listened to the words. I should have
did that. I could have did that.
Who has the password for the motherfucking Wi-Fi?
I don't know, man. These songs now.
He keep on dialing Nikki. It's the like the Prince song. He keep on dialing Nikki. He keep a dialing Nikki. That's what I was like, what?
You just don't get her.
I'm just not the
She's
Ken Barb.
Too big for you.
Right. I do like the track, though. It's just that when she do certain things,
Chung
I just be
it's
like,
fun. Have you played it to run on the treadmill? This shit is great.
Me running on a treadmill.
Y'all know it sounds good in a party. You know it sounds really good, like in a party club atmosphere?
What?
Ring by Cardi B and Kalani.
Really? Isn't it like a ballad, though?
Baby.
Oh, is this when you do the slow one?
When I tell you that, when you hear that shit, here we go again.
you think you mean this week.
Like, when you play that in the club and you hear it, that bass over them speakers, it is incredible.
Hmm.
Me and somebody that hates on Cardi B heard it together, and they were like, yo, I can't even front. Like, I got to flat out. This sounds amazing in the club.
Dang.
I feel like she had to. I feel like she did that though when she picked up all them tracks. She low key kind of has like her look. Never mind. That's gonna be too much. People are gonna be like, you can't give Cardi that much.
What?
But I feel like she low key has a little bit of that Rihanna factor. Like she kind of knows where her lane is, what's gonna work. So it's like people would be like, yeah, she made this CD, but it's a bunch of stuff that anybody could have done. But she still knows what her strengths are and didn't try to do nothing super crazy and different and it just not hit. She stuck to where her strengths were, which were club hits. And then she also picked it up and put in a little bit of other stuff. Like Ring, Ring, Ring was a song that if I would have heard Gangsta Bitch Music Volume 1, I might not have thought her to put on an album. But she still did it really, really well. And she still made it seem like this is a Cardi B song because it bumps in the club and it's also a ballad. So kudos to Cardi for that.
And last on my list, mm-hmm. because of the Khalees interview that I watched, I got back into Khalees because mm-hmm. I feel like I kind of
fell off.
Yeah, so many artists.
When did you fall off?
I wouldn't even say I fell off like intentionally, like just stop. But it's literally so many artists.
It's like how the industry rotates people in and out. You kind of like lose focus of certain people.
And she hasn't put out music since 2014, I think, because I wasn't Food her last album, and I was back in 2014. So I started listening back to the Tasty album. Mm.
Yes,
remember. And she had Millionaire and Glow.
With Andre 3000.
Mama, I'm a millionaire.
Right.
Hey, where there are, how does that start? Where there are chickens, there are rats.
Wherever there are rats, there are dogs. Wherever there are cats, there are dogs.
And if you got the dogs, you got bitches.
Bitches always trying to put their paws in their riches.
Yes.
If you got riches, you got glitches. If you got glitches in your life computer, turn it on and then reboot it.
Speaking of dirty computers. That's why I fell in love with Janelle Monáe, because she was down with Outkast.
I'm feeling sad. Like a million bucks.
I love that video, too. Did you ever see it? They were like little kids.
Yes.
Great music video.
That's
a great
song. And you know what song I forgot? Blindfold Me.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember that video?
And the beat and everything. The beat was what killed
Hello.
It. That was an era.
Was that Bangladesh's era?
Yes.
Bangladesh.
Ooh. I'll put this on the treadmill.
Even Bossy and all that.
When he wanted to be blindfolded, me, then I get sexy on him, get sexy on him. When he wanted to be blindfolded, me, then I get sexy on him, get sexy.
Y'all should see them dancing here. Yo, I'm back on Khalees.
You remember she has a whole bunch of unreleased songs that were the shit. Did you ever hear Young, Fresh, and New? By Khalees. Young, Fresh, and New.
Oh, I have heard. I have heard.
Was it Pharrell? A Pharrell song?
Yes.
I think I remember.
Young, Fresh, and New was the shit. And since this is a random show, we're going to.
I love Trilogy and all that.
I really, and she's so interesting.
There's only one way to my galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Oh, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
I knew I remembered it. Yeah, so I'm back on her, just going through her whole discography and going through, you know, when you remember an artist again and then you're like, damn, this is my song. But you just hadn't heard it in years.
I used to love Roller Rink by her. The Roller Rink, the Roller Rink, just skate around, you don't need to think.
She's so dope.
That was a jam.
Back when MySpace was like the shit, I had a Khalid, on one of my players, I had a Khalid song and I had a Teyana Taylor song. And wow. This is back in MySpace, so people probably had never heard that Teyana Taylor song, but it was called Complicated. It was the shit.
Ooh, I always had Sa Ra. Do you remember
Sa Ra? Yes, Hollywood Redux,
yes,
and all
Hollywood.
That.
Hollywood.
What?
Hey! What? Shout out Taz Arnold. Yes. Sa Ra, I discovered them at SOBs. It was their debut night, actually. Good Music was debuting them, and I went. I forget. A friend of mine in the industry was like, yo, you should come, this group, da da da. And I went and I was like, oh, they're amazing. They
I
were
wish
so
I
would have
got to see them perform.
Oh my God. And then I had them on my MySpace.
I just love that album, that red ass little
Hollywood,
cover or whatever.
The fact that you knew that.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Friend, I'm going to play some shit for you one day. When I get my external fixed, I got some gems on there. Some Woo! old gems.
So that's it. And by the way, you should check out Sa Ra. It's
S-A-R-A.
And they're actually going to be at a festival. I saw them on a flight. Yeah, it seems like they're back on.
Dope.
Because they took a break for a while. I'll find it. While you guys talk, I'll find which festival it is. But they're going to be performing and you should definitely check it out.
All right. Dustin, who you been listening to lately?
Your body look good set, right? You think them for pussy well tight. Body clean and the cellulite. And your skin just a glow like pepper light. I love Walking Trophy by Hood
Walking
Celebrity.
Trophy.
I love that song. Walking I love trophy. That song. Then there's another song that I really love that I've been listening to called Cruel Mistress. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of this.
I like it.
Ooh, I'm sold already.
Right?
Listen to this.
I'm feeling it.
You like this?
I'm feeling it.
This is drop top music.
Yes.
You know?
Late night drop top,
right? In LA, though.
Oh, yes.
Yep, that's West Cruel Coaster. Mistress by Crazy P.
That's dope as hell.
I also love the Remy Ma and A Boogie with the Hoodie song company. I like that song.
I haven't listened to it, but the video looked kind of high. I need to check it out.
What else have I been listening to? There's a song with Khaled. Six Lack Black, whatever that nigga's
yes.
name is. The Ty Dolla Sign called On The Way. Oh, then this is my song, y'all. Listen to this. I found this on Music Challenge, and it's the last song I'm going to bring up. Listen
no,
to this.
Rush.
I love this song. I hate these long-ass intros.
I know.
But just listen to how it's just a jam.
It sounds like Walking Trophy.
Walking Trophy.
That's my jam. That song is called Alone by J. Crows, and I like that song a lot.
I like it. It feels
yes.
very old school.
Yeah,
like
right?
When people are actually singing. I saw someone on Twitter saying that they are tired of whisper singers and all the vibe music. Even I have to say, y'all know, I love me some vibe music, but it is a lot right now. We're not getting very many vocalists. Or I shouldn't say that because they're always around.
Right. That's what
They're
I was about
just
to say.
Not being put in the forefront.
That's exactly what I was going to say, too. It's just that we're highlighting so many of them right
yeah,
now as opposed to letting them cook over to the side and decide who actually is going to be representatives of said genre. It's,
right.
Everybody's
when
like,
it was
oh.
Janae.
Right. Now everybody said, well, I'm going to do it, too. And we all going to be on this. Like, all right, well, y'all sound the same. So be on over there. Goodbye. Next genre.
Everyone's the same. I have one last one.
Go ahead, mm-hmm. go ahead.
Oh, and by the way, the festival that Sa Ra is performing at, my mic done fell. It's called Smoking Grooves. And it's Saturday, June 16th
like
in Long Beach.
Festival. smoking grooves.
Yo, but
and
listen,
you know what?
It's Erykah Badu.
I was just
Miguel, The Roots, Janae, Her, Busta Rhymes, Division.
Oh my God,
Thundercat.
Oh my God,
Jordan, Selection.
Friend, see what Sino, I was gonna. Friend,
Raven, Lynette,
Raven,
Bay,
Simone, friend,
Masego.
Friend, before you even read off them names, I was about to say a smoking festival. That sounds like
you
where I need
know.
To be. And then you go say that, and now. I actually need to be motherfucking smoking at that motherfucking festival.
We should go. It's June 16th. Oh, wait, no.
Well,
wait. We'll
we can't go.
Damn.
Unfortunately.
How did we miss out on our own show?
Right.
So, yeah, that's where Sai Ra's going to be performing. But I wanted to say that my last listen lately. Do you guys ever listen to King Krewel?
Mm-mm. Put me on.
He's super dope. Hold on. Let me see if it'll play. He has a really cool voice. Long ass intro, of course.
She swung me whole.
Hey.
Gun blows our O's. The sink had sunk. It overflows. The door is shut. My eyes are closed. I hear her moan. Or what I suppose.
Isn't he dope?
It gives me that very like removed 80s kind of.
I love it.
Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like that cool.
Imagine just chilling to this.
You know, I've been listening to like a lot of random French rap and all that stuff too. So this is why I'm like, damn, this goes right in. Like, that's like a cool version of what I've been
so
listening to.
So into him. He's super, super dope. A dope European artist. So check him out. King Krewel. That's K-R-U.
To collaborate with Candy.
K-R-U-L-E. That's it for me.
This okay. Well,
on this. Let's talk about it.
As you all know, the independent Maya, because she's independent, I feel like I have to talk about her project.
Maya.
Oh
shit.
She's been putting out music. Last time I talked about that Smooth Jones, the
yeah,
R&B.
I just see
so she put out
project.
A project called TKO, and the first track is called The Fall. The first track is called The Fall, and I love it because it's like a rework of Fallin' in there, and it's really, really dope that she took her own track that was the shit
and flipped it.
I was like, see, this is what bad bitches do.
Right, so, you gonna hear this.
So Maya sold me on that alone, and she's still talented. Like, it's not like time got to her or anything random. Like, people just ain't really talking about
time
her.
Time got to her.
You know, people would be like, whatever happened to her? She ain't looking the same. Or, oh, she sounds like something. It's like, no, she sounds great. She looks amazing. She's not doing anything off the cuff or off chain. Like, you know, sometimes people come back and they do a little too much or something extra. She's still making really bomb, great, like, R&B music, like, sensual, awesome music. And I just love her. So I want to talk about that. Neo has a song called Good Man.
Oh,
I don't get into Neo like
a ballad,
friend. I don't know where. I was in the car. I was in an Uber with Crystal, and this came on the radio. I was like, "Dang, what song is this?" Neo was sounding good, and I don't go for Neo like this. She's like, "You don't." I was like, "I just don't."
You don't like Neo?
I like him. I haven't like made it since I was younger. I just haven't made it like a point to like go download his albums. I've liked his singles. Yeah, I've
Neo,
liked
Neo. Remember his song Mirror?
Yes. Make it work.
Ooh.
We gotta now, make those, it work.
Those albums I listened to, the first like two albums, but after that, like when he got like
all that EDM shit.
Like he lost me along the way over there.
Those were fun.
They were fun. I didn't hate them. But I just was like, all right, Neo's cool.
Yeah.
Because I still remember, like, yeah, the room is spinning and I can't breathe and ooh, my head is just aching. Like, I loved Neo. Like, so it's not like I hated him, but when I heard him, I was like, damn, this one. Stay With Me was the
16.
Shit.
He was dope.
But I heard this on the radio.
Hold up with the D'Angelo.
That's all I want to be. Bae. That's all you get.
Ooh.
So you know it's Neo, so that's only the beginning. He was like singing, and I was like, oh, okay, I need to, you know, go download that.
That sounds good.
I was listening to that. Now, the real hood rat in me, first and foremost, I have been listening to a lot of the female rappers. One time I shouted out Malibu Mitch on here because she was like starting to get hot. So now Malibu Mitch was being shouted out by Nicki Minaj. Nicki Minaj is putting out all these female rappers that, you know, she's posting like their freestyles. So I've just been like listening to a lot of them, a lot of these women for a long time anyway. With that being said, I had talked about Saweetie on here not too long ago. Saweetie is dope. So I just want to make sure I'm shouting out a lot of these women. And another one I wanted to shout out was Megan Thee Stallion out of Houston, Texas.
Not to be confused with Megan Trainor.
Definitely not to be confused with Megan Trainor. Only because Megan Thee Stallion, she's called Megan Thee Stallion. She calls herself Megan Thee Stallion, a.k.a. H-Town Hottie, a.k.a. the Hood Tyra Banks, a.k.a. the Black Regina George.
Okay.
And I only gave her all these a.k.a.s because I've been listening to so much her music, and when she calls herself these things, like, on Pull Up Late, it's the first, she has a project out actually called, what is the name of this project? Called Make It Hot. It came out like a few months ago maybe. But Pull Up Late is the first track, it's real H-Town. One of the lines she says, long legs, big titties, I'm the Hood Tyra Banks. How them bitches expect to catch me when I pull up where you can't? I was like, ooh.
But total missed opportunity for a Spanx line, but go ahead.
She not that kind of rapper, though. She said, I'm sexy, and we know that in secret. Slick back ponytail like I'm Puerto Rican. Baby hairs on Yes Man, bitch, kill it. I'm so bad, I look like a supervillain.
Pop my butt.
Don't compare her. Don't even put that in there with her. Why would you do that?
Pop my butt.
Now look at Harriet Tubman.
And say it.
You are just killing it. This girl is, Megan Thee Stallion is that. She's the shit. She put out a song called Last Week in H, Texas. And she just be rapping her ass off in a lot of these things. And she looks good as fuck. And a lot of people will sometimes look at somebody and be like, oh, they look good, but they might not be a good rapper, or vice versa. They don't look good and they're a good rapper, blah, blah, blah. But I think she's got a banging ass body. She's got some banging ass bars. And she really is the H-Town hottie. She's hot. I watched a video of her just rapping, walking down the damn street, like in one look. But because she was spitting so damn hard and she looked so damn good, that's all she needed to do. It wasn't like she felt like she needed to get cars and do slow motion, do all this other stuff. But, you know, a lot of that stuff's going to come along with budget later on anyway.
True.
So why not just do what you can now and do it real good? And
I
also just want to play like a snippet of a song just because you know what type of girl she is.
Mm-hmm.
See me, bitch.
Hey.
Nasty. Like Chopped and Screwed is some of it. Some of it's just freestyle stuff. Like, but everyone, she's just like spitting some bars at some people. I mean, like, just for the party.
What's her name again?
Megan Thee Stallion.
Megan Thee Stallion.
Friend, if you want something for your gym playlist too, that is one. That song gets it, and then in this song, Last Week in Texas, this is her producer. They made magic together.
So
Megan Thee Stallion, I've been listening to the fuck out of her project just because I didn't listen to it before. Like, I liked her videos and I started to like get into some of her stuff. But she did like a freestyle on Wild Wild Thoughts and like a video just her rapping at the car. And I was like, I like when people did stuff like this. Mm. So the fact that she just showing, hey, I could just rap too, was dope to me. So she's one of my number ones right now. And also, I've talked about him once before, but Tone Stith, R&B singer kid, there's a a movie coming out called Uncle Drew, which I will not even really get into because it's not where I need to be. But for the soundtrack, Tones did this, has a song called Light Flex, and it's got 2 Chainz on it. But he's just a really, really dope R&B kid, and Light Flex is real, like, feel good, and it's like a dope high energy track. This is just what it sounds like. It's that, like, okay. Just so you know, it's funky. And that's all I'm gonna give you, just so you know, it's like an upbeat song.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it here over at Music Men Land. One last thing, actually. I listened to Bridget Kelly.
Bridget, shout out to the homie.
She actually put out a project called Reality Bites. And there's a song called Something featuring Chaz French, which I think, I don't know if it was like the single or like the lead, but it was like the one song that I seen first. But I listened to that song and I was like, okay, Bridget Kelly, A, you sound dope as hell.
Always.
And B, you sound appropriate. Like, I feel like sometimes people are like, let me just do something all the way to the left or, like, you know, different from what I was doing. And when they were talking about that pretty girl thing on Love & Hip Hop and she was singing about her pussy so good, it was like, you know, if you were that girl when we first met you, it would probably be like, hey, you sound good as fucking, you singing pussy so good, cool. But when you're, like, reinventing yourself and it doesn't go with who you were, sometimes it's, like, a missed opportunity. So I think that this is, like, a good happy medium from this song that I heard. And maybe there's, like, more fuck tracks on the album that I'll be open to.
I love Bridget, and she has a song on there called Love You From a Distance
with Ro James.
It's actually more like an interlude because it's pretty short.
So it needs to be a whole
song. So, Bridget, somebody let her know that she needs to make that. You know that people right? always do that?
Look, if you got the whole thing, give us the whole thing. I always tell people that. Like,
it sounds good.
If that intro, if the rest of it exists somewhere, drop that.
That's and it's crazy because it's my favorite. And then, of course, it has to be the shortest one. But the project is awesome. Bridget's always been sturdy.
You know what? That's just like Carrie Hilson. She was good for doing like a interlude or something that should have been a whole damn song.
Right.
But that's it. I'm done for Music Man segment. I want to do listens lately first. I want to talk about music videos after. But all I'm going to say is, just for my last person that I didn't talk about for my listen lately, is Toby Lou, the artist out of Chicago I was talking about. He just dropped like 4 or 5 more tracks. He's been dropping music left and right, and it all sounds really, really dope. So check him out. He also has some really cool visuals and videos. One of the songs I talked about was called Solange that he did. And he also has a song called Sailor, and in the videos he'll do like little shit like play Sailor Moon transforming in the background or some shit like that. And it's really dope to me because it speaks to me loving hip-hop and anime and all that shit tying together. So that's really it. And now we're going to move on over to the TV land. Dustin, what you got for us?
A very quick TV land segment this week, just with a couple of questions. Yes. Not a lot of things are on TV right now, and there's just some questions that we need to have answered. Number one, what's going on the Braxton Family Values? I don't know if you guys have been, well, I know you guys haven't been watching, but on the Braxton Family Values right now, Tracy is getting ready to have her first grandchild. She's the first of the sisters to have a baby. They had a pact that when they had their first grandchild, they would refer to themselves as the Duchess. So that's what the baby is going to call her, is Duchess. And she's really excited about it. And she was going to go on tour with Tony, but Tony kicked her and Tamar both off the tour.
Kicked them off the tour?
Uh-huh. They're no longer opening acts for her. So now Tracy...
Did they say why?
Mm-mm. And that's part of the problem. Nobody's saying anything. There's a lot going on in that family, and they're not talking about it. Tawanda and Trina and Tracy are suing Vince because they wrote the theme song to the Braxton Family Values, and they didn't get any credit for it.
Oh, shit.
And I don't know. They were supposed to work it out, but it didn't happen. So that's going on in the midst of Tamar and Vince's very public marriage turmoil. Tamar filed for divorce. We don't know if they're getting back together. We don't know what's going on. And now it's starting to trickle down into the relationship with the sisters. So what's going on the show? I really want the best for them. They are a family, so we want to see them make it back together. Somebody fix it. Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. Karen King is back. Her and Mama D have been hanging out. It's so funny to me how these shows say, okay, y'all film together and now y'all are friends. Mama D and Karen King been on the show all this time. They really wasn't folks like that.
Who's Karen King?
Scrap the Leon's mother, and you know, she was friends with Tommy.
Scrap De Leon.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Never mind.
Right. Thank I was just sitting here. I don't know how
I'm
to.
Like, I don't know.
This
how
is like trying to explain Infinity Wars to you.
Dog. Yeah, it is. Literally.
It's like,
But her and Mama D are friends.
A lot of twists and turns when we got that, there.
Right. They like, we the biggest cougars in Atlanta. It's just kind of bizarre to see. The whole Rashida and Kirk thing is weird because it's like Kirk has a baby outside of your marriage and you guys are like laughing, you know, about the fact that Rashida's like putting painter's tape across half of each room so that he can stand on one side and she can stand on the other. They're making a big joke out of their marriage being in disarray, and I just don't get it. But maybe they know something I don't know, because Rashida just had a feature, photo shoot and full feature for Forbes magazine because her multi, the Forbes words, not mine, multi-million dollar clothing empire. Wow. So that Press Boutique and all that shit she does online, for Rashida is getting paid.
Good for her.
Right. So that Forbes feature made me say, well,
she always been the boss bitch now. I still remember when she had that black car in the Apple store back 10 years ago now.
She literally Forbes.
Yes, I been on.
Okay, she been on.
Something ping pong.
That took me
out.
He
keep on dialing Nikki like the
What else song. Came on TV?
Doorbell ring wrong.
The Potomac Housewives. I don't know. I felt like they were asking the new girl, Candace, too many questions, and she was letting them.
I like Candace.
She got on my nerves. She did. She got on my nerves.
She did in the beginning for me as well, too.
People forget that, like, there is no formula when it comes to, like, how to film or how to appear on a reality television show.
Right.
What makes you interesting is you. So when Candace comes on and she's presenting all these different elements of her life as if they are up for consideration or up for approval, you know, to say, okay, you are, you know, on reality TV because your life is this way and this is what makes you dope. If you're offering up all these reasons, that means that you don't have a natural charisma or star quality about you that makes you interesting to watch. And that's why I feel like I'd be wasting my time when I watch these new scenes with these people that do that, because like, you shouldn't be in here anyway. So now I'm sitting here watching you and getting to know you, and there's nothing to really get to know. It's just pointless. So I feel like it's another flubbed attempt. I also don't know why those girls on Potomac are so comfortable saying horrible things about each other in their confessionals. Like, things can be going good for the whole group, and then they're getting their confessionals and talk about each other like a dog. Prime example, Giselle, who used to be married to Jamal Bryant, the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Now she goes to some nigga named Sherman that used to play in the NBA. But anyway,
Sherman.
She had a reading. She got all the girls together to to fucking, you know, because she said that she felt like they weren't having fun, whatever. But she did it under the guise of previewing her book. So she did like a loud reading of like a part of an excerpt of her book, and she couldn't read.
What do you mean?
She could not read. She had a hard time getting the words out off the paper into her eyes and out her mouth. And so, but what was crazy was they sitting there at the table, like, everybody accepted the invitation, everybody was trying to make it work, whatever. Then they go in their confessionals and they like, I know she got a ghost writer, she need a ghost reader, like literally, like, Money. Going in. Yeah. And then get mad because somebody talks about them. I could go a little bit deeper, but y'all know it's late tonight. And we'll talk about more about this later. But just know, like, I'm watching you, Monique. I got my eye on Robin because I didn't like some of the things that Robin had done and said.
Mm-hmm.
Robin is smelling herself. She's smelling her ass a little bit this season, too. I don't. Candace, the new girl, I didn't think it was right that she was talking to them about her husband's dick. You know, the whole, he's got a pink penis with a brown head, or brown penis Whoa. With a pink head. And he's a white man. And she actually said, I mean, I talk about his penis because most of my friends, they say, you know, oh my God, well, I've never seen a white one. You can't tell me that in 2018, the year of grab her by the you know what, coming from the president, okay, that people have not seen a clip of somebody else's thing other than their sexual partners. You didn't see a porn clip. You didn't see a porn ad.
All I know is, when just for me, when that conversation came up, I knew exactly what Candace meant, because Candace is with a white man, and if I would meet Candace, not that I would be like, well, so girl, like, so just to give you a little bit of context. I don't remember how it came up, but it came up that her husband's penis is brown, but the tip is pink.
She brought it up.
Her words.
That's how it came up. She brought it up.
Now, for me, I don't want to know. Like, if I see that you with a white man, I'm just like, oh, okay, you're a white man.
But her
like,
first time meeting all of them, by the way.
Right. Not like one of your close friends.
I don't want to know about your boyfriend.
At all.
To be around the both of you, that's like information I should never know.
Thank you.
But I did. But I will say, when I watched the scene, I immediately thought about her being with homegirls. But I had to think, like, these are not your homegirls. Like, you just met all of these people, and you are like, in their first conversation with you, you talking about your husband's dick or your fiance's dick. One of the first things that these women are going to think about when they talk to you is the fact that you spoke about your husband's penis. Not that you just that you a pageant queen or that you educated or you from a good family. None of these things. This is what they will always think about. So they were comfortable enough to sit with her at a table at her event and just clown her and be like, so what's up with the husband with the brown penis or whatever? Like when Sharice was talking to her, I'm sitting there. I'm like, I can't even feel bad because you did this to yourself. And girl, I like you. And I understand what she was trying to say. Like, I feel like she probably has conversations with black people and they're like, yeah, girl, I don't know how you do it with that pink penis. Because, you know, I too have been skeptical about the pink penis. Like, I'm not about that. I don't know nothing about that. Anyway, seeing her talk about that and think that she needed to lead with that, I understood to a degree. Because I feel like maybe her pageantry or whatever it is kind of got in the way of her thinking she needed to explain everything on TV or what. But it's like she, Dustin is exactly right. She needs to just learn how to like live on camera, like this not actually force off all her shit from the damn penis to all the other shit. Because there was more. But her personality
is
bubbly.
To rationalize it to me beyond her trying to do something that would be interesting or, you know, something kind of wild that she could say on camera to make herself like noteworthy. I felt like she
really?
Resorted to that. Mm-hmm.
Oof.
What other reason did she have to describe her husband's penis to a whole bunch of hoes she just met?
I wouldn't want to be noteworthy for that. That's why I was just like, oof.
And not only that, the conversation didn't stop there. They went on to ask her about her mom and her financial involvement in her and her husband's life and who pays for what in the house and all this stuff that they had just, they literally, this was when they met her. This was the event to get to know her. And they asked her all these questions and she made them feel comfortable and answered them like a damn fool. So I don't know. It's just, I don't know. My soul and my spirit is just a little thrown off right now. I feel like everybody's just doing all kinds of crazy stuff on reality TV and I just don't get it. Then the Queen's Court wasn't even good on Monday. I tried to watch the first 5 minutes of that.
Who's on it now? Who's her partner?
There really is no partner. Her and New York Tiffany Pollard have been doing spot dates together. There's supposed to be a revolving battle for who's going to be the permanent guest judge. There was a comedian on there today that I wasn't familiar with, but the show just, I don't know. Maybe I'll try to rewatch it because I want the best for them. I just want to move on because I just, I'm trying so hard not to be negative nowadays. You know what I mean? I'm trying not to just dog people out. That's why, like, everybody, I see all you guys that want me to talk about Kim Zolciak and what happened on The Real Housewives. And because we had a guest last week, we didn't do that. But what can I really say? You know, beyond really just ripping her ass to shreds. That hasn't already been said. Now, I could easily get on here. We could talk about her lips. We could talk about her earlobes. We could talk about...
What's wrong with her earlobes?
She gets fillers to hold her earrings up. We could talk about... Yep. We could talk about... There's so many things about her that we could discuss. But what good is it? If I really... I could make y'all laugh and really, like, nail her ass to the floor. But I'm not even going to do it. Because it just, all it is keeping me talking about her, keeping her name going. I just want her to fade away, just like a few other people. So that's why I'm not talking about her, and that's why I'm not talking about him either. Let's move on.
Him.
Y'all know who him is.
Well, can I talk about a couple things for TV Land?
If you would like to.
I just wanted to shout out Viceland for My House. Just because it was a dope...
Oh, it was so good.
Right, it was just a really, really dope show to watch. I've watched it like 3 times now. I'm in love with all the characters on there. All the people that are doing things, just doing shit. Like, I just think it's dope to see the culture and the scene, like, spotlighted, but through all faces of color. All of, like, in the gay scene, like, you know, we always had Paris is Burning. We've always known. But, like, to see today that there's a spot for us in media that is... You know what we are, like who we are, and shout out to Precious, Precious
Paris,
Precious Ebony, I think is House of Ebony. I need to look that up, but anyway, Precious is a host slash commentator that's on the show. Instantly fell in love with Precious' personality. Tati instantly fell in love with her.
Tati killed it.
Tati killed it.
There was one scene. It was the ball that they went to. What was it called? Coldest Ever? The
Coldest Winter Ever ball.
Coldest Winter Ever. So when she showed up, that outfit with the glasses.
It was already hot. And then they showed the boots. I was like, oh, okay.
You know, I went online trying to figure out what. I was like, oh, I need these glasses.
And I thought that it was dope. Sorry for anybody that I'm ruining it for. Pause here and go watch if you want to know. But I just thought it was so dope that she even got to say that whole lesson about it didn't. And maybe I might be speaking out of turn. I shouldn't even be saying nothing like this. But for her to say it didn't matter what house she was in, all she needed was herself. Like, that was such, like, that's ultimate validation. Because in the ballroom scene, like, you know,
007,
all that shit gets serious, though. Like, if you in a different house and you probably repping some or somebody hating on you, them people, I remember in Atlanta, people used to, like, be fighting outside the club and shit. And I'm sure that shit still happens today.
And so, I can imagine the anxiety of knowing that you, like she was saying, you don't have that crew that's, like, on the sidelines pumping you up so that you can get through it with the adrenaline. She kind of had to just jump out
there. She had to do it. And then they just had to give her that energy because she deserved it. Like,
so good.
So good. And also, I think, I forgot who the dude was, but the one that was friends with her. Mm-hmm. He was bomb. Like, the moment they first showed him and he was just walking around in slow motion, I was like, this is excellent. Like,
such a great show.
Such a great show. So I want to see more of that. I just have to shout Viceland out. For that. That was it.
Miss Vanjie.
I don't even know it, but I know that it's a thing.
Okay,
I've never seen an episode of the show. I just know.
Okay, so I'm
just
so sorry since you did that. Only because RuPaul always has these you know, RuPaul does RuPaul's Drag Race, and every so often RuPaul does the All Stars. It's kinda like America's Next Top Model. Vanjie was on one episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. Went home the first episode. I'm sorry for anybody I've ruined it for. But made such an impact with her exit. Because when she exited, she said, Miss Vanjie, excuse me. And kept saying, Vanjie, Miss Vanjie. And when she left, every episode, they still say it. And the influence, all I'm going to say. She's probably going to be back on All Stars, and she went home on one episode just because of the influence of her exit.
I only know because of YouTuber James Caldwell, who I always bring up, who I really enjoy.
Shout out to James Caldwell.
He reviews the show all the time, but I watched one of his live broadcasts, and he brought it up, and he was saying how it was such an iconic moment that it was never going to be forgotten.
Never.
Yeah.
I actually wrote Vanjie on, I told the people at Starbucks my name was Vanjie, so when they called out.
No, you didn't.
So I could be, it's Vanjie!
You're terrible.
That was it. Anything else? Any sideline things?
No.
All right. Now we're going to move on over, pardon me, to the email segment, asking for a friend. Don't forget to email us at thefriendzone@loudspeakersnetwork.com. All right, so for this email, it says, because who in the hell wants a dishonest friend? Hello. I'm in a compromising position and really would love your opinions on the issue. I've been struggling with reaching out, as I know this may be an extremely sensitive matter, so here goes. I have a male friend who's an extremely wonderful, understanding guy. He's educated and has an amazing job as an accountant. We've known each other for about 6 years, but only recently became close the last two after working together. We both have a mutual friend named Kelly, to whom he recently expressed he has feelings for, but nothing came of it. Shortly after, I noticed it was weighing on him emotionally, so I took it upon myself to have a conversation with Kelly to see how she felt about him. She expressed she only liked him as a friend and said she thought all this time he was gay because of his sometimes flamboyant mannerisms and thought it was something she could not look past. Now, allow me to add, many of our other friends have asked me in secrecy if he was gay or not. I always answered, does it matter? Will it change your thoughts of him? Then why does it matter? I guess I never put much thought into it because I never really cared. But he's been wanting my advice on how he should move forward, but I honestly don't know what to say. My question is, should I tell him about what Kelly said as everyone in our circle assumed he was gay? I fear telling him will make him feel the need to suppress those mannerisms, inadvertently changing who he is. Signed, between a rock and a hard place.
So what should she do, Asante?
Why are you...
I like how you supposed to...
But I like how he had that pose that whole
time.
And then
look, crossing his legs.
You know, this one, I am a rock in a hard place too. I need answers from the friend zone. What y'all think?
No, you didn't. What is this ping pong?
Ping pong.
What's this ping pong?
I mean, if you were the type and you really don't care, like you say you don't care, I feel like this could go one of a bunch of million trillion ways, and I honestly don't have the right answer for you.
Well, how would you tell him? What would you would you tell him?
That's what I was about to say, because I don't know if I would want to necessarily get involved with the fact that everybody has had these issues with whether they want to know or not, and then all of a sudden putting off on him like, look, everybody's been asking. Because that's annoying. Like you said, you're scared of, you know, pushing him further into a hole of, like, not wanting to reach a lot of this. And it's random because somebody tweeted us to watch Giants, and I have been watching, and I feel like some of this might parallel into that. Anyway, I might just be like, what you worried about that girl Kelly for? Like, if she's not giving you the interest back, like, you should just move on and try to just tell him that it's not going to work between y'all because she's not feeling you like that. And, you know, you need to find somebody that you're compatible with. And it might not have anything to do with sexuality. It might just be how he is and what he's doing. And I just say that because I feel like sometimes people do get grouped off as such, and so they just kind of operate like on one accord with people. Like if someone starts to treat you like, not necessarily they feel like you're treating them like you're gay, but you're being treated like you're being handled almost a certain way, then you might be like, okay, well, they don't really care for me being a little feminine, so let me just worry about what I'm doing over here. Or maybe they need to have a deeper conversation with their friends but don't know how to have it because of the judgment. And by you telling them, I don't feel like it's going to help. So I would just try to be like, that girl ain't even worried about you, so don't worry about her. You should worry about somebody that's going to be worried about you. And then help him find somebody that he's going to actually be into that's into them. Now, if you, for a fact, know some other stuff, then I feel like maybe you should have a conversation with him, like about his sexuality and all that stuff. But if you genuinely don't care, then I just would not try to do all that other stuff with him, honestly. What about you, Dustin?
I think everybody that he wants to holler at that is not interested in him for whatever reason. I feel like the reason they're not interested is kind of like something that they need to keep to themselves. Right. And they just need to say yes or no. You're not interested in him, you're not interested in him. If you're not interested in him because you feel like he acts feminine and you think he might be gay, that's fine that that's the reason you're not interested in him, because you're not attracted to that. You know what I mean? And so that's that, but there's a difference between, to me, the other involvement from other people stops there. It doesn't then become a question of, well, somebody bring it to his attention,
right?
Because he needs to know what people are saying and clear up what's going on with his sexuality.
Right.
No. If you ain't trying to bone, then leave him alone. That's all you need to do. And that's where the buck starts and stops for me. I don't really feel like it's a conversation beyond that. Mm-hmm. It's just she ain't interested. Roll on. And if she starts keeping that stuff going and she's messy, and then if he is gay, then the gay side can come out and he can really get her ass. You know what I mean? For keeping the mess going. He gets, all right, wait a minute, bitch. Let me tell you something. Oh, this is my secret to tell, and I don't have to goddamn tell it because you have a question. I don't want you. So it doesn't matter what I am, if I'm gay, straight, curved, or crooked. I don't want you. So I'm looking forward to that part. Write us back, girl.
I've actually been in that position where a friend of mine was interested in someone else. And when I asked that other person what was up, they asked me, isn't that person gay? And I was like, whoa. A plot twist. Because I just didn't expect that from them. I didn't expect that conversation at all. I just expected, like Dustin said, yes or no.
Right.
Not a question of like, but isn't he, like, that's not what I asked you.
Right.
And I didn't go back and tell him that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like that's none of his business.
Right.
That she's questioning his sexuality. And if he hadn't talked to me about it, and if he hadn't talked to her about it, and if he hadn't talked about it, period, then why is it my job to pry? She was asking me to see if I had some,
exactly,
some scoop. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's what she really wanted to find out. And I just felt like that's when I kind of took a step back. Like, at the end of the day, none of this is my business.
And that's why I said if the writer really doesn't care.
Yeah, and that's how I felt, because I love that person. So I was like, this is actually none of my business. And whatever his sexuality is, I never asked him, never questioned it. Whoever he wanted to date, you know what I mean? I felt like it wasn't something that ever even came to me. That's why I was like, she kind of sideswiped me when she brought it up. Because I was like, what? This isn't even what I'm asking you right now.
And obviously like, not, girl, if I'm telling you.
You know, like, I'm like, this isn't even what we were talking about. And that's such a personal question. If you really wanted to know, guess what? You should have asked him when he showed interest. She should have asked him directly.
Right.
Well, aren't you? You know, and then you guys have that convo. If you really want to know what's right. going on. But the whole gossip, ask someone else about someone else. Like, come on. I just don't participate in that, especially now when it comes to sexuality. Because I think that's a very private decision. And it's who you sleep with. Like, come on, grow up. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I say leave it alone. If he wants to talk about it, he'll talk about it.
And that information could actually be kind of hurtful, too, real talk. Like, that could damage, like, a lot of things about him if it's not. I don't know. It's just there's no reason for her to carry that back.
Mm-hmm.
Bone collector.
Right.
So,
And I feel like she's talking about, you know, should I bring it up? Because it has been talked about with their friends.
She want to know.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, if you really don't care, like, you just don't really need to say that. But part of you, I feel like, might have some sort of interest. And honestly, unless...
Maybe you're curious, too, on the low.
Right. Like, if you're trying to, like, reach a common ground with him because it might be something you dealing with or something, maybe. But even then, like, that's his business that he ain't came to you about. So unless you want to go to him about your business to see if that's going to open a door, then fine. But that's really not... You don't need to be talking to the girl because he ain't asked you to be the wingman. And so you don't need to tell him what the girl said because that you don't ain't your business. You don't care. I just don't want to be in the middle of shit. That's why I just be like,
yeah, girl, let him have it real quick. Soon as she brought it up, she was like, I thought.
So, oh, he ain't gay.
Is you? Shit. I guess not. He said you. He said what's up. Shit.
No, bitch, he not gay. Right. He wants you. And not for nothing. Just because I'm one of those people, I hit on anybody. I just don't be knowing what time it is. And somebody be, oh, he's straight. And I'm like, I don't know. You know, he might be straight to you, but we want to be
he
with
might
you.
Be straight
like, I'm just
to
saying,
you.
People will say whatever, and I just don't care. That's why I never
you
say.
You know what, though? You know how I feel about that. It's
but
a
that's
spectrum.
Why I don't, exactly. That's why I never
depends
say. So you
who's
gay?
Asking, depends what day.
Look, that's why I don't go, so what, are you gay or are you straight? Like, I don't just do that. And I don't just be like, I thought that he was straight. Like, if somebody says someone's interested in me, they're like, ain't he straight? Like, I don't know. Is he? Like, I just heard he was filthy kid.
He might
like,
be
I need
straight
to
you.
Look, I mean, I'm just saying, sometimes shit happens. But that was it. This has been a long-ass episode. I hope that helped your ass. Please write back in and tell us what happened. For those of you that did not catch it, the email is thefriendzone@loudspeakersnetwork.com. That's the end of this segment. Now on to the Black Business of the Week.
So Kid Fury came up with the hilarious name. Cat Fury came up with the hilarious name of iOS press release.
Yes.
For these apparent notepad challenges that are taking place online where someone will say something wholeheartedly and then 24 hours later flip the script and have to apologize. Remember back in the day people had publicists that would do that?
Yes.
It'd be like a
they
release
pay someone
statement.
To do that. Yep.
You know what I mean? That you clearly took time with media training. But now they just hop up on their notepad with all their
screenshot.
Grammatical errors.
Yes. With the line still under it. The line literally tells you to correct this.
No punctuation. Mm-mm. No structure. And just kind of throw it up there too quickly a lot of the times where I think they don't take the time to be like, is this a clear apology? Is this genuine? But I thought in the case that any of us get canceled... And we have to put an iOS press release. And when I say us, I don't just mean the three of us in this room, but I mean those of you listening.
Because I'm sitting up here like, I'm just deleting my social media.
Because we're a community.
Going to give me a regular-ass job. I do not
We're
care.
An ecosystem. And if the time comes where you are canceled and have to release a press release, I suggest using Black-owned company Social Note Pro.
Man, friend.
Because if you're going to go there, you might as well support the community.
I'll say it. Woo.
There's an app, Black-owned app called Social Note. There's also Social Nut. Lord, what is going on with me? Social Note Pro version. And I love it because you can customize your press release if you want a lavender background with black font, or maybe you want it to be in script. Maybe, you know what I mean? You can kind of customize it to whatever your vibe is that day. Mm. And I love that because it makes it artistic. You can apologize in style.
Yes.
While contributing to the community.
You're sorry for 2018.
So that's my black business of the week. Shout out to Social Note Pro.
Amen. That was a black ass business. I like that.
And that's it for this
week. I like that. That was a black ass advertisement for that business. I like how you did that.
So that's it for this week's ep. What? Did
you Sorry, no. Something? Go ahead.
What?
Church announcement.
Church announcements. What do you guys have for us? Oh, Chicago, Friend Zone Live.
Say Shaw yes. City.
May 12th. We're seeing you soon.
Can't wait to see y'all in Chicago. May 12th. We'll see you in LA June 16th as well. That's all I can talk about.
What's on tape?
If I Were a Rapper.
Yeah.
Back in New York City, Wednesday, June 6th, 7:30 p.m. Tickets on sale this Friday. Go pick them up. I think I'm going to do some new games this time. I got games out the ass. When I tell you, I have so many different types
you
of
should.
Games.
Those are so fun.
So, like, everything that y'all saw might be completely different just because. So then when I do this shit on TV, it's just a bunch of different shit all Yay. The time. If I Were a Rapper, come through. Go play.
All right, so when do the tickets go on sale?
They go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, ifiwerearapper.com. You can check my social media at Hey Asante. The tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. If you log onto the website today or tomorrow or tonight or whenever, it's not going to work.
Oh, gosh.
At 10 a.m., the tickets will be on sale. If they're on sale after 10 a.m., don't tweet me because I can't do nothing about it. They'll just be on sale when they go on sale. And it's a Friday. You get paid. New month, new blessings. Might as well see a show for next month. Get ready.
Hey, now.
Buy them now. That's it for me. What about you, Fran?
On May 22nd, that is a Tuesday night, I will be hosting the New York leg of Francesca Ramsey's yes! new book tour for Well That Escalated. You hear me?
Yes.
Well That Escalated.
I was going to say, what book is called? What? I didn't know about that.
Well That Escalated quickly.
It did.
And you can get tickets because you have to turn out for her. This is Cheska's first book, and yes. that is the day that it will be releasing. It's a very big deal.
It's a party.
And I'm honored that she chose me to host it and facilitate the conversation about how she wrote the book and about yes. the book, obviously. So please grab your tickets.
I'll be
it
there.
Would be amazing to see you guys there.
I'll be there.
You can grab your tickets at WTEQ. Well, that escalated quickly. Yes. WTEQbook.com.
WTEQbook.com.
And that's where you will find tickets and all other information about her book. Please support her. Pre-order it now. You can go on Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
You ain't got to worry about
on
it.
On that website to get the book now. Please do it. Support. She should actually be the second black business of the week.
Okay.
Yes, Lord.
And that's it for this week's episode.
I got one more church announcement.
Go ahead.
Just if you're listening to this episode and you're going to be in St. Louis, I will be in St. Louis Saturday, May 5th. I'm hosting the pop-up shop for The Read at 14th Street Artist Community. That's 2701 North 14th Street. It's always amazing that when I go to different cities, people that listen to The Friend Zone and not The Read will show up. It's so dope.
Just to say hi to you.
Yeah, they're like, I don't even listen to this podcast. I just knew you was going to be here for The Friend Zone. I was like, well, thank you for coming and doing that. It's happened to me several times. I can't even believe it. So all you listeners, I'm letting you know I'm going to be in St. Louis. Hope to see you and hope that you love me because I love you. That is it again for this week's episode. Friend, yes. Take it back away.
We love you guys. As always, thank you so much for listening.
Stay black and protect yes. your magic.
We'll see you next week. Bye.